TV system.
Call 800-264-0071. That's 800-264-0071 for new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now, 800-264-0071.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The family of the late Nicholas Berg, the American contractor beheaded by a group linked to Al-Qaeda, is up in arms over the U.S. government's insistence that their son was not in the custody of American authorities. Father of the victim, Michael Berg, turned over several emails to the Associated Press yesterday indicating that they were told by the U.S. consular officer in Iraq, Beth Payne, that Nicholas was in U.S. custody in Mosul. Payne said in the email that he was safe.
Nicholas Berg died for the sins of George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld. The Al-Qaeda people are probably just as bad as they are.
That was the voice of Michael Berg, the father of Nicholas Berg. Nicholas Berg's brother, David, called the government to come clean about his contacts with the slain American. Before he died, the family is blaming the government for keeping him in custody while violence was escalating in Iraq. Central Intelligence Agency has concluded that bin Laden Lieutenant Abu Musab al-Zarqawi was the person shown on the video beheading American civilian Nicholas Berg. Agency confirmed al-Zarqawi predicated on the analysis of voice on the video. Intelligence officials conducted a technical analysis of the video released on an Islamic website and determined the probability was high that it was al-Zarqawi. Four buses carrying an estimated 250 prisoners left Baghdad's Abu Ghraib prison this morning, one day after Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld visited the jail. It's the first mass prisoner release since images of detainee abuse by U.S. soldiers at Abu Ghraib surfaced several weeks ago. The buses were escorted by U.S. military Humvees and several cars apparently carrying family and friends of the prisoners. It was unclear where the buses were headed. About a week ago, there were approximately 3,800 prisoners at Abu Ghraib. The new U.S. commander of detention operations in Iraq, Major General Joffrey Miller, said his plans to reduce that number to between 1,500 to 2,000. U.S. Army says two soldiers will be arraigned on the 20th of May on criminal charges linked to the Abu Ghraib prisoner abuse case. Military set the arraignment date for Staff Sergeant Ivan Federick and Sergeant Javal Davis when both must enter pleas. The military said the date and venue of their trials have not been established. Another soldier charged in the scandal, Specialist Jeremy Sivitz, goes on trial on May 19th before a special court-martial. That court, according to reports, cannot levy as severe a sentence as the general court Marshall, which Frederick and Davis will face. Sailor mongering, that's the charge against Greenpeace. The U.S. government takes the environmental group to court on Monday, accusing it of a crime last prosecuted 114 years ago. Six Greenpeace activists boarded a freighter in April 2002 that was carrying illegally felled Amazon mahogany to Miami. They hung a sign demanding President Bush stop illegal logging. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Your lawn is being taken over by dandelions and crabgrass.
Help!
With Weed Be Gone, one product gets rid of the dandelions,
but not the crabgrass.
The other kills the crabgrass,
but not the lawn weeds. There's gotta be a better way.
There is. Bayer Advanced All-in-One Weed Killer. It kills lawn weeds plus crabgrass in just one easy step, and it won't harm your lawn.
Two kinds of weeds, one simple solution.
Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Weeds, like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others, can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
Planet check. They shoot sea lions, don't they?
Chippy, the wayward sea lion, was found in the Central Valley near Los Banos by a California Highway Patrol officers who, probably enough, dubbed him Chippy.
That's Jim Oswald from the Marine Mammal Center in Sausalito, California. Veterinarians found a large caliber bullet lodged in soft tissue behind his skull.
We see a lot of these patients come in with gunshot wounds, over 8% of them, and it's a really sad fact that humans can be so cruel to sea mammals.
Chip, hooray! He's okay.
They went ahead about a week week or so later and remove that bullet, and Chippy fared quite well.
With the clean bill of health, Chippy was released at Point Reyes National Seashore along with the tracking device.
It's about a 5-inch diameter square with an antenna. It's attached to Chippy's hair coat. The tracking device is going to be good for about 3 to 6 months or whenever Chippy actually molts.
Last year, the center treated 41 sea lions with bullet wounds. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec, nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
The old Brinken Factor.
So, like, what are some of the stories that you hear?
The best thing that happened yesterday was a couple of canvassers told me that they had been out over the weekend and ran into a wild turkey that was trying to prevent them from going to a house.
Al Franken and Catherine Lanford.
So I don't know if it was a watch turkey.
Clear conservative plot.
Yeah, but once they got past the turkey and began to talk to the voters there, they found a more welcoming group.
Air America's Al Franken. Weekdays noon to 3 on Air America Radio.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition. Today, we've got the liberal agenda coming up this hour. Plus, the Pope has a message for George Bush, and it ain't nice job, Skippy. But right now, it's morning. It's Friday. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott.
Hello.
We got the lights working in here. It's nice and bright in here. It's cool in here.
It's a New York morning, though. We got a serious problem. There's a truck that's stuck on one of our parkways.
Closed the entire parkway down. So Ooh. Be thankful you're not here and driving into New York City.
Be thankful you come to work on a scooter like I do.
A scooter. Not a motorized scooter, folks. A little kick scooter like a child has.
Yes.
Oh, it's so cute.
It's very cute.
But it works. It works.
Said in a very patronizing way. Actually, It's a special one. It's a special one.
Yeah.
It's called a kickboard made by people who make surfboards and skis.
For children.
You keep failing to. You keep. It's not. It's for adults. You keep forgetting to note how incredibly cool and environmentally friendly it is.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm certainly don't want to take that away from you. Well, thanks for helping out.
Yeah. I just thought I should point that out. Redeem my reputation.
No.
Very good for strengthening one side of the body.
Sue's deformed. Her right hip is huge.
I have fantastic muscles in the right thigh and buttock.
Now you could. You have a bike, you said.
I do have a bike and a scooter, yes. And I would bike to work if they only let me bring the darn bike in the building. They let Al Franken bring his bike into the building.
They won't let you bring your bike in
Why
here?
Well,
because it's a no-bike building. Who knew there was such a thing?
So maybe how does Franken get away with it?
Because he's Franken.
Hey, well, how do you think?
He rides it in.
Put on a pair of thick glasses, cut your hair a little.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't give him a chance.
Chinos.
He just rides it in. He rides right past security. Hi, fellas, and gets right in the elevator.
But you know that I have my bike, because I have a lock that almost costs the same amount as the bike, which is the essential don't steal my bike lock in New York. It weighs about 5 tons.
Now, is there a stand outside?
No.
No?
You have to find lampposts and things that can't be pulled out of the concrete sidewalk.
And then you come out and it's just the frame. Just the frame. That always used to sadden me when you walk by and see just the frame of a bike with a lock on it. I just want to say to those people who were so supportive through email yesterday around the death of my cat, Butch, that Butch was buried in Los Angeles in a small private funeral in my backyard by my wife, Mishna. 2 trees were planted on the grave. And
are you taking donations?
The Butch Fund has been set up for cats suffering all around the world. No, I just wanted to thank the listeners that walked me through that on the email. I spent about like a half an hour going through dozens of sort of like, I know exactly what you're going through. Even guys would write in and say, you know, I hate cats, dude, but I know what you're going through.
I empathize. I'm driving a truck across country, and I know what it means to lose a cat.
Yeah, I've killed a couple cats with the truck, and I felt bad, and I think that by writing you this email, you know, it'll help me, my karma. No, but all the karma is good, and thank you for your support. Now let's get into real tragedies, real power, real
real
know,
karma.
Politics.
You want to talk about karma? You want to talk about some amazing...
Planetary karma.
I mean, what, 72 hours ago, Donald Rumsfeld was more or less toast. A lot of people thought that he was going to go, even though Bush said twice, you know, he's going to stay, I support him. It seemed like, you know, forces surrounded Donald Rumsfeld, and there were vultures overhead. Well, in 24 hours, he seems to have reversed course. He flew to Iraq, and it looks like he may not be going anywhere after that surprise trip. He told U.S. troops that the Iraq prison scandal is a body blow. He's been using that phrase a lot, so I think you mentioned that.
I felt that was rather unfortunate in a kind of humiliation, beating up a prisoner story, you would refer to a body blow.
Body blow,
someone
yeah.
should have advised him to steer clear of that.
They use bad metaphors, these guys. I mean, even Richard Myers the other day when he was talking about, you know, the country Iraq said it's like a, you know, kid on a bike with training wheels.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Eventually you take the training wheels off.
Off and he falls down. If he's bruised, you help, him get
back
up and you push him back
that's
out.
That's good. Just treat the infantilize the entire country.
Republican poetry.
Oh, exactly.
Well, you know, Myers, when you speak of him, he went with Rumsfeld on the Iraq trip.
Well, it worked so well for Bush when he came with Turkey on Thanksgiving. They're like, hey, it turned things around. They all thought he was the greatest guy in the world. Let's try that again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's saying even though the scandal is obviously a drain on morale, it's problematic for the administration, he says the work of the coalition in Iraq will go on. He told the press in Baghdad there will be no cover-up of wrongdoing by soldiers.
The garbage that you keep reading about cover-up and the Pentagon doing something to keep some information from people is unfair, inaccurate, and wrong. And if I find any evidence that it's true, I'll stop it.
Aha. The classic equivocation. It's untrue, but if it is true, I'll deal with it.
What did he just say? Did he say anything?
Did he just say anything? He said, it's not true.
But
if it is.
But
if it is, I'll root it out.
I mean, I just, the logic of what he just said is that this administration will constantly claim that they didn't read things, they didn't see things, and if someone, you know, one of their underlings says, I saw something, it's like, I didn't see what he saw. So by the time, you know, anything really comes out, it's so confusing, and they can't put it on anybody.
Can you say free pass?
Well, but they keep spinning stuff, and now they're not even spinning things. They're just sort of like, I don't know, maybe he's got it.
Well, you know where he couldn't spin?
Yeah.
Was when he toured Abu Ghraib.
He was not well.
The Iraqi
there.
Prisoners were not spinning behind the concertina wire.
Even though they released a few hundred. They started to release 300 or so.
Limped away today.
Yeah.
I think they took them away, and there were prisoners' families kind of lined up outside doing. Actually, I was surprised at how restrained they were. The reports I saw said that they lined up with doing thumbs down signs and waving tattered Iraqi flags.
To Rumsfeld. I was under the impression, were those the people in the cells that were doing that, or those were people outside?
I'm not sure if they were prisoners or some people
outside. I got the picture that he was walking through the prison. And
I think it was prison.
And the people were just like, no, that's the man, that's him.
Yeah. Well, look, he's pretty distinctive, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, distinctively. You know, he's over there on this sort of, you know, special ass-kissing mission is what he's doing, I think. You know, and he's trying. His whole presence sort of annoys me. They're really trying, and I don't know if it's effective or not. I'd hate to think that it really is, but they're really trying to make this seem like it was an isolated incident. It wasn't systemic, that he's on the game, he's on the point. If anything's going wrong, we're all still in charge. We're going to push this through. They're just trying to get on with it. Just push it aside.
But see, the irony of all this is that it may not matter in the end what happened or how it happened. It may be that the Bush people really just spun it so well that he gets to keep his job and people get to move on. I mean, Bush, and I don't think this is any coincidence, as Rumsfeld is in Iraq, Bush is calling Republican lawmakers, many of whom are highly upset with Rumsfeld about being left out of the loop as far as all these prison photos and stuff. He brings all of them in, and they come out of the meeting apparently saying, well, Rumsfeld's okay. And see, what that says is that between these two events, the Rumsfeld trip to Iraq, the Bush calling the GOP people, because the Democrats by themselves can't get rid of Rumsfeld. They need Republican help.
Right.
Bush just took it from them.
Oh, he kissed an ass, too?
Yeah. I don't know. The Republicans yesterday were looking as though they'd finally woken up. I mean, Congress looks as though this week with Bush asking for more money for Iraq, that finally everybody's so angry about the Abu Ghraib prison abuse that they've figured out that there needs to be more oversight of the administration, and they said, you know, no, we're not going to give you this, you know, $25 billion. It's a blank check.
But who are the Republicans that are saying it? John McCain and people like that? See, what ends up happening is...
Not just John McCain.
Who else? Hagel?
No, that's what
they do. They get Hagel, they get McCain, they get a couple of Republicans, and what they do is isolate them among the Democrats and say, okay, these are the few malcontents.
Right, another isolated event. Right.
The bulk of the moderate Republicans are still behind me, and that's what... The significance of this thing yesterday was the Bush calling. He didn't call Democratic senators and congressmen in there. He called Republicans, and he got the Republicans to rally around Rumsfeld. And guess who comes out the big loser of all this?
Who's the fall guy?
One Stephen Cambone.
The intelligence dude.
Intelligence dude who went before the Senate Armed Services Committee and essentially made a complete fool of himself.
Because he was trying, because everybody liked Taguba, and he was laying down the truth, and this guy was like, I don't know if that's exactly what happened.
Contradiction mm-hmm. at every turn. Of course, there is, speaking of every turn, Jeremy Sivits, you remember him,
Sivits.
The guy that's getting ready to stand
the fall guy.
Mr. Plea Bargain.
He's now said he's willing to plead guilty and confess. The same like Pavarotti.
I guess if any of these scandals blow up, you always want to be the first person who gets charged because you have the best chance of plea bargaining.
And you also get the best shot at a book deal right out of the gate.
But yeah. Riley, here is a report on Congress yesterday. It's conservatives, too. Senator Wayne Allard, Republican of Colorado, warned that Congress should be given more chance to exercise its oversight. John Warner, he's the chair of the Armed Services Committee, said he would refuse to move on the $25 billion request unless the administration makes changes that will let Congress have a bigger say in how and when the money is spent. I mean, it isn't just, you know, John McCain or conservatives who you could, you know,
dismiss. But see, that's the money. That's not Rumsfeld. Okay? When it comes to Rumsfeld, these people are not going to call for his resignation. None of them.
But it's a sign that, you know, I think that they're reacting like this because they're angry that Rumsfeld was so slow to appreciate last week the effects of the prisoner abuse scandal
I think
and reports
they're angry.
Coming out of Iraq. And so Republicans, you know, they feel some kind of pressure, presumably from their home constituencies, or, you know, heaven knows it could be some kind of moral integrity to play a bigger role.
I think they're pissed off about the $80 million. That was diverted behind their backs.
$200 million?
Was it $200 million?
The revelation in the Bob Woodward book about the money that was
$170 million. Was it $170 million? $180 million?
Whatever it was.
It was diverted behind their back, and they had $700 million. Man, we get
those
numbers.
Oh, that's right. It was $700 million.
So I imagine that Congress is going to be a little more sort of aggressive.
That was like an auction.
Yeah, right.
$700 million. $200 million.
But I think they're
going
to be a little more.
$700 million.
They're going to be a little more aggressive about. You know, what kind of money is going to pass through and how they're going to okay it.
Listen, they'll give him, they'll eventually give him the money, and Bush will give him the oversight they're looking for.
The Syria's ahead, as is the president's, president's palm pilot, plus what the Pope's planning to tell President Bush, all coming up on Air America Radio.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy rewards program subject to eligibility.
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6-year, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified, it's just used.
Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees?
GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experienced professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at gemhr.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
I feel a cold coming on, and I'm in a wedding this weekend.
This cold better be gone soon. I'm going on vacation. Is there any way to make a cold go away faster?
Yeah, is there?
There is. Coldease lozenges, clinically proven to reduce the length of a cold by almost half. No other product has Coldease's patented homeopathic formula.
Cold's gone. I can kiss the bride.
Safe, effective Coldease lozenges. The shorter the cold, the better. And try new Coldease nasal spray.
Friday morning, 20 past the hour. There is not enough Dunkin' Donuts coffee in the world to go around. I am Mark Maron. This is Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. I'm here with Sue Ellicott.
You can have mine.
Mark Riley.
I'll give you my cup.
You don't have any Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I don't see you sitting here with it. Just water and paper.
If I had some, I would give it to you.
You're going to have to.
I mean, there is enough in the world.
Yeah, I'm sure there is, and it's going to be at Walmart, too, which makes me unhappy, but I didn't expect Dunkin' Donuts to have integrity. So John Kerry was in Little Rock, Arkansas, Thursday, and he said that President Bush has, you know, broke faith with veterans who have been promised medical care, even as he sent thousands of men and women into harm's way in Iraq. Do we have a soundbite on that there, Chris?
Veterans earned their health care. It was a promise made by a nation. And people who serve their country, I believe, above all, have a right to expect that promise to be fulfilled.
Yeah, so apparently someone is finally addressing the treatment of veterans coming home as not being, you know, efficient, appropriate, or even, you know, that comprehensive.
But you know what?
Yeah.
This is a classic example of John Kerry saying something that's needing to be said.
Yeah.
But saying it in such a way that people will criticize him.
That just sounds like he needed to, you know, he didn't really need to say it. It just needed to be said.
No. It needed to be said.
Yeah.
But in the way he said it, it, I believe, feeds the fire of people who say, well, he's not forceful enough. He's not aggressive enough. He's very matter of fact. And there's nothing wrong with that. I see, I'm not one that believes that, you have to have fire coming out of your nostrils every time you address something or address an issue. I think it was an issue that had he not done so, nobody else would have. Who else would have said
it? So you're saying maybe he should have, like, gone to the VA hospital and said, men.
No.
The men are coming back.
No, I'm saying this is symbolic of a problem that he has.
A charisma problem.
And he's right in what he's saying. He's right about a lot of what he says. The problem is people just tend to come away from it saying, oh, man, well, okay.
It does seem to show the strategy that the Kerry team seems to have, which is they want him to be in the news, but they don't want him to look as though he is taking advantage of it. They want him to be sort of on message but not exploitative, and so that sets a kind of gentler, sensitive tone, which, you know, by its very nature doesn't look as forceful.
Yeah, but I think you're probably right about that. I mean, he did, I think, also see the Iraq abuse photos recently, did he not?
They all got to. I would assume that he took a look at them. I don't know that if he commented on them. But I think he is, you know, I think we talked to Jen Bluestein the other day, who's a Democratic strategist. And I think that, you know, she also supports the fact that I think Kerry is starting to come along as a person. He's letting people get to know him as a person without, you know, being incredibly forceful. I think you're right, Sue.
But he is, you know, even if you looked at the photographs, I suspect he probably did, but he has avoided discussing that topic. Or else I've just not noticed at all. But I don't think that he's been outspoken on the prison abuse issue and on the photographs.
He did say that
he's trying to. I do think he's really trying to not look exploitative, because whatever he does, I mean, if he goes too hard on those topics, which are very sensitive anyway, and you can see the, I think, the disarray within the administration, how to deal with that. I mean, Karen Hughes was quoted in today's Wall Street Journal as not even having known about the prison abuse photographs or the fact that CBS held onto the story for 2 weeks, you know, asked by, who was it, the Joint Chiefs of the Staff not release for 2 weeks. She knew nothing about that until it came out in the media. I mean, there is a, if you actually look in the little sidebar issue stories, the White House and the Pentagon have not been in control of this story. Well, that's why Rumsfeld was flown in for his surprise visit, because they were just kind of desperate to seize the initiative and put a lid on it.
Well, they all seem to say that. It seems to be their biggest excuse with this. Yeah, we didn't read it, didn't come across our desk, we didn't see it till it was on television. You know, I don't know if that's a protective device. I think it is, you know, and I think they just keep pushing things off until, you know, the crap hits the fan, and then they have to reckon with it.
And they deal with it by spinning it. They deal with it by doing two or three things at the same time. I mean, look, they've managed to take Nicholas Byrd, a murder and a tragedy, and spin that, even at the same time that Nicholas Byrd's father is blaming specifically Bush and Rumsfeld for their son's death.
They try and make it like this is what we're fighting. You know, it came. You know, the timing of this whole thing, you know, is almost, you know, transcends coincidence that they would use it to divert attention from the torture pictures and what else is going on that could be blamed on, you know, the American military intelligence community. And then they take this Berg murder, which is heinous, and try to say that that's the enemy. Yet what we're fighting in Iraq, there's several different contingencies of resistance. Yeah. I mean, you know, al-Sadr's militia is not the same as al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda was not in Iraq until, you know, Bush, you know, allowed them in by making it chaotic. And now, like, Zarqawi might be a splinter group of al-Qaeda. There's actually infighting within al-Qaeda,
yeah, I mean,
apparently.
He may be a rival of bin Laden's, not bin Laden's closest ally. But you saw this coincidence, they're calling it, about the email.
There are no coincidences, Riley.
I knew you were going there, but the email that apparently the email account that both Zacharias Moussaoui, accused in the September 11th attacks, and Nicholas Byrd shared. This was at the University
of
Oklahoma.
This is so bizarre to me, and I can't even begin to speculate.
It's a report, right, that Nicholas Byrd gave his address out to somebody, and somehow that Zacharias Moussaoui used it.
It actually said that he gave him his computer, that they were in some sort of, like, and they're very vague about it, right? There was an outpost of Oklahoma, was it Oklahoma State University?
No, it was in Norman, so that's the University of Oklahoma.
University of Oklahoma, that there was some outside of campus activity going on, there was a bus involved, and, you know, Zacharias Moussaoui was on the bus, was asking people if he could borrow their computers for a minute. Nicholas Byrd happened to be on the bus and was one of these people who Zacharias Moussaoui used his computer. So the email dispatched from Nicholas Byrd's computer was on record with, you know, Ashcroft's Justice Department as being suspect. He was visited by Justice Department officials or the FBI.
By the FBI.
And dismissed of any suspicious activity. And now, you know, he ends up in Iraq. His father, the whole thing is just like, how does such a web of intrigue surround this 26-year-old kid who's just sort of like, I want to go to Iraq for help? Because now it makes you suspect him and them and everything else.
I don't know. It just, life is full of very weird coincidences. And this could just be one of those very weird coincidences. The interesting thing it raises, and is a question that Nicholas Byrd's family has a legitimate and compelling reason to get to the bottom of, is why their son was held for 13 days without access to lawyers and without charges in Iraq before he was released, and then he was killed. And you know, the coalition has to stop passing off, you know, questions that the family has by saying he was in the custody of the Iraqi police, because they don't act without authority from the U.S. coalition.
Still ahead, the liberal agenda, and Mark Riley, you take it away, man.
No, it's the presidential palm pilot. Good news for Kerry and the all important liberal agenda. When we come back, this is Air America Radio.
Fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially,
Your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Funeral services are scheduled for today in suburban Philadelphia for the late American contractor Nicholas Berg. He's a Pennsylvania native and headed by an Al-Qaeda operative in Iraq. The Berg family is calling on the Bush administration to come clean about the circumstances leading up to the death of their son. Just a day after Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld paid a visit to the infamous Abu Ghraib prison, some 250 prisoners have been sent packing, along with family and friends, to a new location. There's no disclosure to exactly where the prisoners were heading. An arraignment date has been set for two U.S. soldiers facing criminal charges in connection with prisoner abuse at Abu Ghraib. The Army has established a May 20th arraignment date. Another soldier implicated in the abuse scandal, Specialist Jeremy Civitz, faces trial May 19th. He's now trying to cut a plea deal. And the U.S. House of Representatives voted yesterday to make permanent tax cuts. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
What's up, Sprite Remix drinkers? It's Jermaine Dupri, and I'm bringing you that remix, man. Down South flavor. Taste this.
I like that taste. The Swiss beats is going to give you a different flavor. East Coast style, check it out.
Sprite Remix, they're doing it again with brand new Sprite Remix Berry Clear. Out with tropical flavor, in with the crisp taste of berry. New Sprite Remix Berry Clear. Rethink, remix, refresh.
Travelocity's 5th annual cruise super sale has been extended. It's the biggest cruise sale ever.
Indeed. I've already eaten my weight in lobster scampi.
Save on every cruise line and destination. Get up to $300 cash back and up to $100 more when you book with your MasterCard.
How clever.
Hurry. The sale ends March 4th, 2004. Call 1-800-222-3690. Visit travelocity.com/supersale or AOL keyword cruise. Restrictions apply. See site for offer details.
Book with Travelocity. Don't forget your hat.
I'll just see who that is then.
Oh no! South American killer bees! They're going for my eyes!
A swarm of killer bees. That's one thing you don't want in your house. One thing you do want in your house is a better looking roof with Plitanium plywood from Georgia Pacific. Other roof sheathing materials can swell at the edges, creating an unsightly checkerboard pattern under your shingles. Plitanium roofs provide a more uniform surface. Plitanium plywood. Build it better.
The Majority Report.
I think that there's a lot of these right-wing type Republicans who are trying to turn America into a one-party state. Yes, and ma'am. They seem to all be of one mind in this. I'm not talking about the whole Republican Party. I'm talking about, as Sheldon Ranson and John Stauber say, the banana Republicans. Yes. And they seem to have no respect for the Constitution, no respect for democracy.
Air America's Majority Report. Weeknights 8 to 11 on Air America Radio.
It's Friday morning. It's Morning Sedition. I am Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott.
Morning.
We're talking about Nick Berg as a center of a new-grown conspiracy in terms of, you know, the Moussaoui connection. What was he doing in Iraq? It's just interesting to me to finish off what we were talking about before that, you know, not only is this act heinous and, you know, brings back the Al-Qaeda element and the brutal, you know, almost, you know, definitely, you know, psychotic, you know, transgression that was done, the murder. Then, you know, also you have this very mysterious and evolving mystery around the victim. It's amazing how it's being used as a smokescreen to, you know, hide all these other things that are going on or distract from them.
They are, but I think that that will turn. The more that we see Nicholas Berg's family, his father in particular, you know, angry and outspoken against the Bush administration, I can't see how they won't have to back off. Because
right.
he is a, you know, he's a young, idealistic, you know, well, good, seemed like a decent guy, Nicholas Berg, who, you know, we don't have any reason to believe he was doing anything any other than, you know, having an adventure. And mm-hmm. one that seemed to be kind of worthwhile, that had a kind of moral purpose to mm-hmm. help rebuild Iraq and help Iraqis. But, the, you know, the Bush administration won't want this sort of, you know, the to even be using him as a smokescreen if it ends up that the father is, you know, gaining, you know, public and media support with his outspokenness against Bush and Rumsfeld.
Absolutely.
They'll have to come up with a new tactic.
Should we check in with the presidential palm pilot?
I would think so, yes. Let's see what he's doing. Huh?
All right. This is I get this from my guy in the Oval Office who downloaded this from the president's palm pilot for a schedule for today. 8 a.m., wake up, stay on message. I'm a liberator, not a dividerator. 9 a.m.
Dividerator?
Dividerator. A liberator, not a divider. I'm sorry, you corrected me on a made-up word. 9 a.m.
good at that.
Have press conference bragging about freeing prisoners at Abu Ghraib. 9:30 a.m. Have prisoners at Abu Ghraib quietly arrested and sent to Guantanamo Bay. 10 a.m. Shortlist presidential pardons to be given just before leaving office. 11:15 a.m. Speak at Victory 2004 luncheon, Bridgetown, Missouri. Tell them you govern by Harry Truman's motto, the buck stops here. 3 p.m., speak at Concordia University commencement, Concordia, Missouri. Tell graduates you govern by Harry Truman's motto, the buck stops here. 4 p.m., stop the buck. 6 p.m., see Troy again. Ask Rummy if Achilles is available for Iraq duty. 8 p.m., after screening, fitting for presidential breastplate, shield, and sword. Didn't he have that done already? He wanted to do that at the beginning, didn't he? Want to have special uniforms for the new American Empire. 9:30 p.m., lights out, pray to Zeus.
Uh-oh.
Speaking of prayer, a senior Vatican official said Thursday that the war in Iraq and the abuse of prisoners had caused a rift between religions and that Pope John Paul II would tell Bush that very thing when they met on June 4th. Gesundheit, Chris.
When they met or when they
when
meet?
When they meet.
When they meet.
But, well, you know, no kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding. I mean, this war had divided religions and divided countries and divided...
I'm not saying the Pope's senile or old, but maybe this is kind of old news.
No, you know what? There's something I don't get here.
Uh-huh.
There's something that just... There's a complete disconnection. We have this peacenik Pope who's, you know, talking about peace and talking about tolerance and talking about all these... And then you have these bishops and all these other people... You know, denying folks communion because of their views on abortion. There's something wrong there. They're all Catholics, aren't they? They're
yes.
supposed to take direction from the Pope. Well, if the Pope is this strongly inclined to say that war is this bad, how come there's no sanction from these same bishops against people who support the war? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, there's a lot of hypocrisy in the Catholic Church. I know the abortion thing
is...
Look,
I'm not talking bad about Catholics. I love Catholics, okay? They're great people.
Right.
I just don't understand yeah. how you have this kind of almost schizophrenia. And then don't even get into the abuse stuff.
Right.
All right? And how they handled that at a point. Because
the sexual abuse, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was ridiculous. They covered up fast.
Shuffling guys around, playing chess with priests.
For 30 years, some of them.
Molest kids.
Yeah. But, I mean, leaving that aside,
yes.
you know, people get real thin-skinned about that.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand how you have a pope who's always giving out these messages of peace, messages of hope, and yet you have people here that just, you know, they go at the very mention of anything gay, their eyes glaze over. When it comes to anything, pro-choice, their eyes glaze over.
But I don't think that they equate the two things. I mean, one is an overall moral issue that, you know, violence against people, war is immoral. War is wrong. And, you know, this is the same envoy of the Pope who came to Washington last year and tried to persuade Bush not to invade Iraq and said that it was against the wishes of most of the countries in the United Nations and the Security Council. And, you know, the President, remember, the Pope, he comes from Poland, and he very much speaks kind of in that sense in a very sort of European, you know, absolutely non-American tradition. That was a part of the world that was very anti the war.
But when it comes to communion, and when it comes to, you know, condoms, when it comes to, you know, birth control, all of that is the specific, you know, tiny details of the of Catholic teachings. I don't think that they see an inconsistency.
They may not, but it sure looks inconsistent. I don't understand why. All right, if you want to be, if you want to say that people who are pro-choice should not receive communion because they are violating some basic tenet of the church or whatever, fine. But I don't understand how, you know, after the Pope makes all of these very strong statements against the war, why there is no sanction against people who support it. You know, the, to me, I'm sure they think it's consistent. I just don't see it.
Well, they're still a political entity, aren't they? They still have to, yeah.
Still got free land.
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand that, Riley. You mean that people, a Catholic bishop or a Catholic priest, if he knew somebody supported the war, he should not give them communion?
Why not? Why should they if they're not going to give somebody a communion for a view on abortion?
I guess because that is not specific. That, you know, you can't read that, you know, in the Bible or in the
what, thou shalt not kill? That's in the Bible.
But that would be a specific. That would be a specific
commandment.
A murderer or a person. That's not. That is that. Thou. I mean, if for instance I supported the war, which I did not, I haven't actually personally killed somebody. I haven't gone out and strangled. I haven't gone out and strangled my neighbor. If I had done that, then maybe a priest could say there's no way she can come and have communion.
But John Kerry didn't have an abortion.
Be in jail.
Did John Kerry have an abortion? No. So why is there some sanction against John Kerry's view on abortion? You see, Kerry didn't have an abortion. You didn't kill anybody. But yet there's an inconsistency in the way you're dealt with for your views. That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, you know, religion... I'm just watching you guys. Like I was just having some.
You just, wish you'd had another coffee, as I am.
No, but I was just watching you two go at it. I felt like I was watching Crossfire. I was like, wow, how are we going to cut away from this? This is getting juicy.
No, I mean, look, John Kerry, the Pope, the President, all of these people, I think, are involved in a very intricate dance that involves, obviously, people's religious beliefs, very, you know, strongly held religious beliefs in a lot of cases. I just find some inconsistency in the way religious beliefs are applied.
We got to go, and you can hold that thought, too. But so maybe we should do that as a topic for the callers, religious inconsistency in supporting the war. Something like, we got to make it more specific. Maybe you can help
how
us.
About,
866.
How about is supporting the war religiously inconsistent?
Yes. 866-303-AAR0. 866-303-2270. We'll take your calls here on Air America Radio.
There was dirt, water, and air. And it was good. Once, Planet Check.
Evolution is a beautiful thing. Lori Demerit from the Hartman Group explains.
What we have confirmed through that behavioral study, and we've been doing that for about 10 years, that consumers absolutely are changing the way they're living their lives.
Surprisingly, this positive change is driven by lifestyle, not demographics.
We find that consumers of all different ages, incomes, education levels, ethnicities are interested in health and wellness products.
It's no longer just their personal health, but the health of their world.
What happens is they start to become more concerned about environmental attributes. We do find that consumers are looking for products that reflect their values. That can be anything from health to environmental concerns.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check, your daily one-minute terrestrial examination. Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
Mary, can you overnight these to Boston?
Sure, do you want them first thing or...
It's a meteor and it's coming right at me!
Not many things knock you out like a migraine.
I suppose you'll want to take the rest of the day off then.
But you can knock out a migraine with Ralpax. Ralpax Alotriptan Hydrobromide relieves migraine pain and symptoms such as nausea and sensitivity to light and sound. For some people, it starts to work in 30 minutes. Ask your doctor. Call 1-866-3-RALPAX or go to RELPAX.com. Ralpax. Don't let a migraine keep you down. Only your doctor can decide if Ralpax is right for you. If you have certain types of heart disease, a history of stroke, TIA, or uncontrolled blood pressure, you should not take Ralpax. Very rarely certain people, even some without heart disease, have had serious heart-related problems. Talk to your doctor if you have risk factors for heart disease, such as smoking, high blood pressure, or high cholesterol, or if you're pregnant or nursing. Certain medicines that are potent CYP3A4 inhibitors should not be taken with Ralpax, so talk to your doctor if you're taking other medicines. See our ad in Fitness Magazine.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Good morning. It's Friday. We're waking up slowly. It's 45 past the hour. We're taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. It seems that the topic is, if the Catholic Church is morally opposed to the war, how come they are not morally opposed to or sanctioning politicians that support the war? It seems that we're getting some calls about Rumsfeld as well, which would be fine, too.
My head is too rusty this morning. I'm not sure I can. I can't even understand our question. I don't know what's happened to me.
Kristen in Manhattan. Kristen?
Hi. I understand the question perfectly, and it's the first thing that came to mind when Carrie was being denied by the church to have communion was this whole thing about the war. Now, the two points I want to make is, one, Carrie did kill people in Vietnam.
Yes,
and
he
wasn't denied communion because of that. And the second thing is the church is also against the death penalty. And most of our congressmen and senators are for the death penalty. I'm sure a lot of them are Catholic, you know, and none of them are being denied communion.
So you think the church should stand up for a little more for what it says it stands for?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much for your call.
Sure.
Appreciate it, Kristen.
So what is it? Is it if there is a government policy that somehow that, you know, someone isn't penalized for supporting that because it's not seen as such a personal issue as would be taking a position on abortion or taking a position on birth control or living together without being married. Those are considered personal issues and you can be penalized for them, but the others are policy issues. Is that the separation?
It might be, but I have no idea. I mean, look, when you look at some other religions, like the Amish, for example, the Amish have a real strict set of religious values that they live by, and one of them is they don't fight people, period. Not under any, not even in self-defense.
Well, they can't get into a car and drive off.
Yeah, exactly. They can't do that either. But I mean,
yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, they just don't do it.
It's consistent. You know,
yeah.
That I understand. I may not agree with it. I don't want to ride around in a horse and buggy, but I understand they have a certain level of consistency within their religion.
I don't know. I think up to some months in New York, that riding around in a horse and buggy seems incredibly charming and very sane.
Let's all go up to Central Park South and take a ride.
Terry in Brooklyn. Terry?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
I'm calling, yeah. Basically, one of the commandments is thou shalt not kill. The church holds that all life, the sanctity of all life, which is why abortion is wrong and murder is wrong and the death penalty is wrong. However, the Pope last year, when he came out against this Iraqi war, said that there are certain standards that have to be met for war to be justifiable.
Right. Do you know what those are?
But no, I don't know the exact standards of that. I don't remember.
Okay.
I actually tried to look them up on the Internet. But this war didn't qualify on most, if not all, of those standards.
Didn't meet the standards.
That was true,
yeah.
Because it was preemptive.
Preemptive and also...
Even though there may have been a sort of human rights aspect to it, that was definitely secondary or tertiary issue when
thanks
it came
for your call,
to the war. And in Britain, at least, the head of the Anglican Church was incredibly outspoken against the war. I mean, most church leaders were very, very critical of the war.
Is that the Archbishop of Canterbury?
I think it was the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Okay.
When you ask me these questions, I get terribly insecure.
Tom in Long Island.
I'm not sure if I can get them right.
Hey, Tom, what's going on?
Okay, I just want to point out another really big inconsistency with the with the church is that they're only going after Democratic people about this because, for example, Governor George Pataki is Republican and pro-choice, and they're not denying him communion. It's only Kelly and other people like that and the Democrats. So I think that's extremely inconsistent.
I wonder if they would deny Pataki communion if he made an issue of it, because it seems that, you know, once you make an issue of something, like Kerry has made an issue of taking communion, that you are put in the spotlight.
Well, but see, the thing, the call is right. He is pro-choice. I mean, Pataki has been on record as being pro-choice.
So, right, I mean, but Pataki, is he on record of making an issue of whether or not he can take communion or not?
My guess is he probably just goes.
Right, exactly. There's some other calls here that we didn't get to, and I want to thank them because we see the topics that someone said that the spin from conservative radio hosts on Nick Berg is that he was an Al-Qaeda operative.
You saw that, right?
That's so deep. How does that, and it's deep, but how does that justify what happened? Like he was
It's whack is what it is.
All right, we'll be back with the liberal agenda and other stuff after this on Air America Radio.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
way. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
This year, you're going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. The Smoking Solution components have already helped thousands of ex-smokers kick the habit permanently. We guarantee you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 7 days or your money back. Unlike gums or patches, the Smoking Solution is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. We also include the Slimming Solution to fight weight gain, powerful antioxidants to help heal your lungs and body, and much, much more. Best of all, the Smoking Solution system works fast. In as little as 1 week, we can help you kick the habit once and for all. Come on, aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, the Smoking Solution system is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
While you can't see brilliant colors on the radio, you can use them in your business. That's why the Xerox WorkCenter M24 digital color copier printer is attractive to anyone who listens to the voice of reason. The lease price is a low $189 a month. You get brilliant Xerox color for less than 9 cents a page, plus the Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee. To get all the colors you can't see on the radio, do the most reasonable thing.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
LendingTree.com presents 2 steps for controlling the home buying process. Step 1. Go to LendingTree.com and get up to 4 great mortgage offers within hours. Step 2. Stay at LendingTree.com and get up to 4 leading real estate agents within hours. So, to choose the mortgage and agent that's right for you, call 1-800-555-TREE or visit LendingTree.com. See website for details and state license disclosures. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply.
Good morning. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I am Mark Maron. I am here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. We're having a morning. We're having a Friday morning. We're coming alive. Another caller called in, and we didn't get to his call because it was a little off topic, but it has provoked us to re-listen to the Rumsfeld soundbite we have from his address to the troops in Iraq. We want to deconstruct it a little more.
garbage that you keep reading about cover-up and the Pentagon doing something to keep some information from people is unfair, inaccurate, and wrong. And if I find any evidence that it's true, I'll stop it.
See, I'm sorry, I misquoted in this. It was actually at a press conference.
Yeah.
But what the caller had said, and I think, and we talked about it a little off air,
you
is that
I think it was actually on the flight. It was two reporters, but he was actually, it was while he was flying from Washington.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I mean, since we're going to correct, we may as well just get it right.
Accuracy, damn it.
But it's overrated.
What the caller had said is that he said that he's actually giving himself permission on some level to hide evidence, because if there's a cover-up within his department, it's assumed by us and by Congress, perhaps, that he probably has something to do with the cover-up. But what he's saying is that if there's a cover-up, I'll look into it.
Yeah.
So he's making a decision of it doesn't make any sense other than to say that, look, you know what? You get out of here. I'm in charge here.
You're right. The other thing that he's doing, which, you know, as a journalist personally really offends me, is that he's basically dissing the media big time. And he also said to the troops, I think, and they laughed loud at this, that he had stopped reading newspapers. And it's a fact, he said. I'm a survivor. No, it's Ronald Rumsfeld as Gloria Gaynor. But that. You cannot stop reading newspapers and all this stuff is coming out, because the newspapers, not all of them, but you know, the major newspapers that have reporters who are working kind of very hard to unravel details and try to figure out what is going on here, are the only way that you will get the facts, that you can even approximate the truth, because you're not going to get that from the administration.
But now there's it's almost like Orwellian in the sense that, you know, if you don't read the newspapers, there's shamelessness about being uninformed in the way that the rest of the world is informed. It really sort of, you know, it's arrogant in saying that, like, we'll decide. It's almost like saying we'll decide what the truth is.
But, you know,
we have a ministry of truth for that.
They're going even further. Mm-hmm. Not only is he not reading the newspapers, he's not reading reports from his own people. He didn't read Taguba until I don't know when. And remember that the 53 pages was just the executive summary.
And that's what he said. I think they protect themselves by doing that in some weird way. I think that if they don't get caught and they didn't read it, you know, everything's fine.
Yeah,
and if they do get caught, they can say, I didn't read it. And then the worst we can say is, like, what are you, stupid? How can you not read it? You're the guy in charge. I know, but it's very complicated here.
There's stacks and stacks.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a lot of paper.
But also, it's the standard thing that this administration in particular does, and Bush did it in his 2000 election campaign, which is to bash the media. Because out there, whenever you do surveys and you ask people, you know, who are the most kind of vilified, which are the most vilified professions in the United States? They pretty much say lawyers and journalists. And the administration has done a really great job at, you know, undermining the credibility of the press in particular and the media in general. And that's what he's doing here. It's the, you know, don't believe the messenger. Forget the message, you know, the messenger. Trash the messenger, because then maybe the message won't get through.
Those are the messengers that you're assuming, you know, can, you know, actually, you know, reporting. A lot of the press are managed by these people, and they kowtow to them constantly. You know, they've got them sort of like, you know, under their thumb.
Well, you know, a generation ago it was used car salesmen, so I guess it's good to know that journalists have overtaken somebody among America's most despised.
Yeah, but they probably know more about what was going on with Gray than Rumsfeld.
At this point, yeah.
Oh. There's the facts from Barbara Streisand's compound. It's a liberal agenda for today, May 14th. Get your pens, liberals. Here are your marching orders. One, if your children ask about the homeless guy at the freeway off-ramp, retell the story about Florida and the hanging chads. Two, email your congressman about the high cost of gasoline. Feel like you've done all you can. Three, remember, it's not too early to plan Thanksgiving to be renamed the Vegan Day of Guilt and Shame. Four, at regression therapy, come to terms with your anger during the Reagan administration. Aww. Five, rather than thinking, what would Jesus do, think, what would Woody Harrelson do? So, do what you will with those.
No, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
This whole gas thing, Because in New York, you really don't feel it. We have people like Suella Kyle.
I have to mention the scooter.
Yeah, she gets on that. I was going to do it for you. I'm telling you. You get on that scooter. You go where you need to go later for the rest of the world.
I'm doing my bit for the United States to avoid an oil-led recession.
We'll be at 250 by July 4th.
I'll be on the train.
Yeah, right? There's more to come on Morning's Edition, the Presidential Daily Briefing, Recovery Corner, plus, would you trust your vote to Diebold? Professor Avi Rubin will explain why you shouldn't here on Air America Radio.
Let's be honest. By now, you've probably heard of Levitra, Levitra Vardenafil HCL. I bet you're still wondering, does Levitra really do what it's supposed to? Well, I can tell you, but where's the fun in that? Talk to your doctor. Find out for yourself. You know, when they say nothing ventured, nothing gained, they aren't kidding. Ask your doctor if a free trial is right for you. Call 1-866-LEVITRA or visit Levitra.com to find out more. Levitra, when it counts. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's summertime, all right, and all that summer sun and heat you're taking in right now can really dry out your lips. So here's a little tip to help keep lips moisturized and protected. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer. That's right. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer's got SPF 15 and 10 moisturizers, like aloe and vitamin E, to moisturize summer dried lips and help keep them feeling great. Because summertime is ChapStick time, too. Use as directed.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Funeral services will take place today in suburban Philadelphia for the late American contractor Nicholas Berg. Berg's horrific death at the hands of an Islamic group linked to Al-Qaeda has taken center stage in the latest developments from Iraq. The body of the 26-year-old telecommunications businessman was found last weekend in western Baghdad. His family is accusing the U.S. government of failing to protect their son and is demanding an explanation. They also charge that the administration is not coming clean about the circumstances leading up to their son's death. Berg's father, Michael, wants to know whether an offer was in fact made by his son's abductors to swap his life in exchange of Iraqi detainees.
I would like to ask George Bush a question. I would like to ask him if it's true that Al-Qaeda offered to trade my son's life for the life of another person. And if that is true, well, I need that information.
Michael Berg, the father of Nicholas Berg. Michael Berg yesterday turned over to the Associated Press copies of emails proving that his son was in the custody of American authorities before his untimely death. The U.S. government maintains that they did not detain Berg, but warned him to leave Iraq in addition to providing him a flight out of the country. Just one day after Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld made a surprise visit to Iraq, prisoners from the infamous Abu Ghraib facility are boarding buses along with friends and families to travel to other locations to continue their detention. Some 250 of them were sent packing today. The prisoner transfer was part of a new strategy aimed at diffusing tension at the facility on the heels of the prisoner abuse scandal. Just a week ago, Abu Ghraib held some 3,800 prisoners. The new commander of detention there wants to reduce that number, hopefully by half the amount. U.S. and coalition forces will leave Iraq if asked to do so by an interim Iraqi government. That's what a State Department official told the House International Relations Committee yesterday. Mark Grossman, Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs, was questioned by California Republican Dana Rohrabacher.
Iraqis have said that they would like our forces to stay. And
I know,
but
if they ask us to leave and they have sovereignty, we will leave, will we not? What's this jump?
Of course.
Is the answer yes?
If they ask us to leave, let me go backwards. I do not
is
believe.
Is the answer yes?
I do not believe they will ask us to.
No, that's not the point. Is the answer yes?
Yes, sir.
A military representative at the hearing, however, said the U.S. would not have to take orders from the Iraqi government. Meanwhile, the Bush administration's next request for financing wars in Iraq and Afghanistan will push next year's total beyond $50 billion. This, according to a top Pentagon official, the remark by Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz put a partial price tag on operations in both countries for the budget year beginning next October 1st. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Honey, this stuff is useless. I can't get this shower clean.
Well, try some of that other stuff instead.
Good dose of this ought to do it.
What is going on in here? You didn't mix those two chemicals, did you?
I don't feel so good.
People don't always use common sense. Fortunately, there's a healthcare company that does. United Healthcare. Make fewer copays for maintenance drugs online. We fill gaps in care others might miss. And when you call, a real nurse is available 24 hours a day. United Healthcare. It just makes sense.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep. The Tempur-Pedic Swedish Mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
My company designs and builds offices for large corporations. After 10 years in business, I can handle just about any construction problem. But paying my bills on time, that's not always so easy.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of Open, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It helps me build my business.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Weeds like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
The Air America phones are ringing off the hook.
Listen, Bush came down here. We want to send him back.
Everyone's calling Air America Radio.
I've never heard people really, truly own up to the fact that we do have an electoral college, and that is why George Bush won the election.
866-303-AAR0. Call and let it rip.
I don't have any problem with him disagreeing with Bush and thinking he's wrong. I think all the Democrats are wrong.
Air America Radio. We're listening.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron here along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good God, it's Friday morning. How are you? It's Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. I'm sitting with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley, and we're going to talk in this hour about George W., who needs a trip to Recovery Corner. And we are happy to oblige that. And the intelligence community's top secret PDB is coming up. And we're, what are you doing this weekend? Are you going to England, Sue?
I am.
You are? I thought you were. I thought this is the week off, no?
No, it has to be next week is the week off now.
You can't stay away from the children.
From the Cubs.
I understand that.
The Cubs are calling.
I really understand that. I feel that when I wake up in the morning and I see my daughter lost a tooth last night. Now, that's a big earth-shattering event in her life.
Yeah.
I wasn't awake to see it. I was gone by...
You didn't get to see the bloody tooth?
No. Oh. That's really a big deal. I understand. Believe me.
Was it
a
first tooth? No.
No, it wasn't the first.
She's been through it before.
Each one of them is very, very significant because to her it means that she's growing up.
Right.
Kids sometimes use these little things as signs that they're getting older, they're growing up, they're more confident in themselves, whatever.
Right. Now, what's the tooth fairy paying these days?
Oh, I got into trouble for that because my eldest son took so long to lose a tooth. He was seven and a half, and he was so upset everybody else had lost a tooth that when one finally came out, I think I gave him £5, which is like $8. And my parents were just horrified. And then the thing is, he never spent it because he just was so proud to have his money. It just sat on the kitchen counter for months and months. And then when all the other teeth started falling out, I just never got around to paying him at all. So I think overall I did quite well.
You said to him, like, that's covering all the whole, that covers
really,
the whole mouth.
I just realized, I hope he's not listening. That's too fairy, I mean.
I got to be careful.
Not me, not Mama.
No, she's speaking on behalf of the Tooth Fairy. You see, adults aren't allowed to say among adults that the Tooth Fairy is the one.
And for any other children who are listening, though for various other reasons, I certainly hope they're not.
We're very popular with children. There's a lot of children.
Hey, my daughter listens. I'm not sure if she's up yet, so I have to be careful about that.
I know my mother-in-law listens every day, Diane, because she called my wife yesterday. She found out about Butch's death by hearing me talk about it early.
Butch is your cat, in case anybody doesn't know.
Yeah, and again, at the top of the hour, we'll thank all the supporters that I got for making me feel better about my cat.
Our number one news story.
Yeah,
yesterday.
Butch was buried in a small private funeral in the back of my house in Los Angeles by my wife and the guy who does yard work around next door.
Wait a minute, your mother-in-law heard about Butch's passing through the media. Is that what
through the media? Yeah, and I had to clear the story up because there was a big conspiracy surrounding Butch's death that, you know, it was really simple. The cat got sick and died. The funeral was attended by several of the cats from around the neighborhood. It was very touching.
Wow.
There was like a mini procession, you know, a small hearse, a wagon, you know, with catnip. And it was very touching, I heard. I got pictures over the internet.
And now for the news.
Yes.
Well, see, now we have to be careful how we make this transition because, of course, Nicholas Berg is being memorialized today.
I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean
No, there's nothing to be sorry about.
Yes, there is.
I was by no means making a connection to the national events. This is just my small little life and my little cat, but this is the big news.
I mean, Nicholas Berg is become big news, obviously, because of the savagery of his death. He's made this guy, Zakawi, he's made him like a household word.
Zacharias Moussaoui?
Yeah.
No, Zarqawi.
Oh, sorry, Zarqawi.
The bin Laden's rival or his associate.
Sometimes I think these guys, the way they do this so brutally, like I think he was looking for street credit among terrorists, too, to do something so heinous and so brutal and so public as, you know, human sacrifice, on video. It's just like, it seems like he's making a power play, too, symbolically within the world that he runs in.
Oh, I fully agree with you. I think that every 15 minutes, just now, in the last 5 minutes, his face has been on CNN twice. What you start, and of course, you know, this is consumed in the world.
Yes.
You know, not all Arabs just watch Al Jazeera.
Right.
They watch some of these other channels. They see the guy's face on there, and they know that he's not in custody. They know that the U.S. probably has little or no chance of getting him, at least in the foreseeable future.
And many of them aren't going to vote for bin Laden this year.
That's right. But, of course, George W. Bush is busy spinning, and he's trying to spin as fast and as hard as he can. He is, as Sue pointed out last hour, running into trouble with this $25 billion allocation he's trying to get through Congress. There's some folks that aren't too happy about that.
The serious savings account?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, there are two words you have to be frightened of here. Blank check.
Blank check. And that's what some lawmakers are saying Bush is asking for, and they're not sure they want to give it to him.
No kidding.
But, of course, Bush is still trying to convince people that America needs to move on from the Iraq prison scandal. He says it isn't representative.
Like you, I have been disgraced. And about what I've seen on TV, what took place in the prison. But the actions of a few do not reflect on the fantastic character of the over 200,000 men and women who have served our nation.
You know what? He could have said the apples do not reflect the oranges. It would have made as much sense. I mean, the two things are just not connected.
Yeah, I think that B-12 shot kicked in right at the end of that.
Yeah, right. Well, the other thing is, of course, this now puts the seven soldiers that have been charged in the prison abuse scandal right out there on a limb by themselves. Because Bush and everybody else is putting as much distance between them and the rest of the U.S. military as possible, even as there's mounting evidence that there are a lot more people involved in this whole thing.
Sue was just saying that some people, some who were held from England at Guantanamo, are accusing that story, and they are really trying to make this isolated and seem like it wasn't systemic at all.
That's right. Well, the report that you mentioned in the British papers today that two British citizens who had been held at Guantanamo are speaking very openly about the kind of abuses that they were subjected to, which are very similar to some of the ones that we've learned about in Abu Ghraib. But the thing that drives me mad about Bush in this is that this saying that it's a few bad apples. They're really clinging hold to that idea when it is so wrong. All we've seen from the International Red Cross and all the other reports is that there was systemic abuse. This was very widespread, and the way they are trying to recover from the embarrassment and the transgression of international human rights on this issue is to keep banging on about it's just a few, it's just a handful of people. It's just not true.
Yeah, and also many of the people that were being interrogated and tortured and humiliated were innocent people. Say 70 to 90%, it was reported.
That's according to the Red Cross, and as far as Rumsfeld's concerned, the Red Cross is a bunch of girly men.
Inhofe said,
they're nothing but do-gooders. They're people crawling around looking for something to criticize America.
And he's a born-again. Did you know that?
No, but I could have guessed.
He's a born-again. And, the Red Cross, the do-gooders, who are they to fight for human rights? What kind of horrendous organization is that?
And there's another twist on that, actually, in an opinion or an editorial piece in the Wall Street Journal today, basically saying, isn't it disgraceful how the International Red Cross has become involved in partisan politics? So in some ways trying to discredit the Red Cross by suggesting that they are politically motivated. That's a really appalling thing to do.
It's ridiculous. That's a spinning the Red Cross's agenda into a democratic.
That's pretty desperate. I mean, if any of all the international organizations that have pretty incredible credibility, I would say the Red Cross is way up there, number one.
I can't believe they said that they'll do anything to justify their agenda.
Well, they're going and watch and see what they do to Nick Berg's dad, who has not at all backed up from his very harsh assessment of the Bush administration's role in his son's death.
Nicholas Berg died for the sins of George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld. The Al-Qaeda people are probably just as bad as they are.
And there, I think that, he's right, number one. Number two, Al-Qaeda was not in Iraq, until, Bush made it comfortable for them to settle in there into this chaos. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It's only going to be a matter of days before, probably even today, the right-wing press will start slandering, Michael Berg. And
Nick Berg.
They're already starting to slander Nick Berg as some sort of what? They're claiming he was an Al-Qaeda operative, a Jewish Al-Qaeda operative who was killed by Al-Qaeda.
I don't know, but there is just one thing that troubles me, and I feel very bad for Michael Berg, Nicholas's father, and I think he has legitimate questions which must be answered by the U.S. administration about why their son was held for 13 days in Iraq with no lawyer, with no charges, basically without due process. But
did you say without due process?
Without, I was going to struggle because I would have said due process, but then people might think it's about little drops of water on the grass and stumble. So I was trying to do a more American version of due process.
And you heard what he heard, right?
You still trip me up, okay?
DUE. He was denied
due
process. DUE.
I'm going to just spell it out. DUE PROCESS. But the thing is, I think when all of these issues, whether it's Michael Berg speaking or anybody else, is that trying to make a kind of moral equivalence between, Al-Qaeda and the administration is inappropriate, too. I mean, I hear his anger coming through and I hear his grief coming through, but he has legitimate questions, but I don't think you can do that. But you can be very angry with the administration and legitimately say that your son died because of going to war.
They're both brutal, stubborn, and fueled by religion on some level.
He died perhaps for the arrogance of this administration.
Okay. Still ahead, we've got Recovery Corner, and up next, the Dream Diary that some people love right here on Air America Radio.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband, Michael, at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband, Tom, through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband, Jack, on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph.
we go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Today at 5 o'clock on Channel 7, Eyewitness News. A bar mitzvah celebration for kids who aren't Jewish? It's the hot new thing. Eyewitness News shows you a new kind of coming-of-age party that goes beyond religion. Plus, at 6 o'clock, defibrillators save lives. But Eyewitness News finds out that most health clubs refuse to install them. Is your gym putting you at risk? Join Diana Williams, Jade Barenois, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast. Today at 5 on Eyewitness News, only on ABC 7.
An all-new Oprah, A Secret Affair, exposed.
The sex is very, very addicting.
A wife blindsided.
I couldn't believe it.
The other woman right next door.
Are you thinking about anything other than, I'm going to get some?
It's hard to explain.
Well, I'm sitting here willing.
Then her husband's double life. Three mistresses. The son who took him on.
You think you should have told your mother?
Why husbands cheat. Would you stay? Would you go? Next door.
Today at 4, only on ABC 7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinamone. And since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter. But in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
Good morning. It's Friday morning, and we just sent out for lattes.
Yeah, I'm matching Marin shot for shot on the espresso.
She's afraid if Marin gets too many lattes, we're all in trouble.
I'm having whatever he's having, plus one.
In trouble. We're doomed.
That's Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley.
But
I'm
no
Mark
competition
Marin.
Or anything.
This is the morning sedition, you know, awakeness competition. We're all very awake.
Oh, yeah.
You can email us. It's email at sedition@airamericaradio.com. Right now, I'm pleased to share with you my first dream diary post-therapy yesterday.
Mm.
I dumped all the dreams on my therapist yesterday. Now, this is from last night. Let me see if I can make it out. Here we go. My cat Butch died yesterday, so I guess this is...
Just a recap.
Yeah, so I'm kind of sad. So in my dream, I went up to cat heaven. And it's beautiful. Golden light, green rolling fields, and there are millions of squeak toys, 6-foot balls of yarn, elaborate ebony scratching posts shaped like pants legs. Here and there, there are cats jumping on other cats while they're trying to read their newspapers. And over near the milk pond, I see Butch, my recently deceased cat, and he's surrounded by lions and pumas and black panthers and ocelots. And they're all speaking French to each other and gesturing with their paws and smoking. They're all smoking. And I'm so happy. I go up to her, I say, Butch, I'm so glad to see you. And she steps out her cigarette and says, Mark, what are you doing here? I miss you. I'm here because I miss you, I said. And she says, you know, Mark, reality is just a crude construct. Your loyalty is touching, but ultimately futile.
She's so catty.
I know. And I don't want to embarrass you, but this club is restricted. And I say, but Butch, it's me and you. Remember me? And she says, can we do this later? I'm kind of in a meeting here. Then she coughed up a hairball into my hand, and it turned into a sparkling emerald. Then Butch lit another cigarette, and she wandered off, cursing in French. And then I woke up, and my bed was filled with just me.
You have to get over her, because she was, in fact, for all your love, she was a bitch.
She was definitely a selfish girl.
But you know what? I knew when you started to talk about Butch that Butch was not going to have time for you when you went to Cat Heaven. I knew that before you even said it. I knew that. As a matter of fact, I thought it was going to end up that Butch couldn't even hear you talk.
Yeah. Right? No, thank God it didn't happen that way. Butch was definitely had her own way of doing things.
She has a mean streak. Mean.
Mean streak, and she was also like a...
She was just busy.
Yeah, she was a...
And she gave you a stone, a precious stone, right?
Yeah, I came away with an emerald, and that made me happy. So, listen, this is big news. A federal judge Thursday rejected a last-minute bid by conservative groups to block the nation's first state-sanctioned gay marriages from taking place in Massachusetts on Monday.
Yes, okay.
So we have the first state in the union that will let gay people get married. Only sometime after European countries have been letting this happen for a while and just basically not batting an eyelid.
Buses are leaving San Francisco, Minneapolis.
Glad you're catching
everyone's heading for Massachusetts. Yep, Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah, but you know what? Surely the Bush administration is going to make an absolute meal out of this, given that it's Kerry's home state.
Yeah. I but you know what? This really might work. I mean, this might be the wedge that will really work for him and define, who his constituents are, I think.
I don't think Kerry. He necessarily wants that to be the first thing that defines him, given that the Bushes have the conservative base, and they'll just go at this relentlessly.
Well, you know let's not instigate it. Maybe they would. Maybe
No. You know what? I don't think moderates, right? Those swing independent people that everybody's depending on to win the election. I don't really think that most of them are going to live or die by whether or not two people who are not them decide that they want to live together in matrimony.
No, I think people are actually very, pretty reasonable about this. I'm just talking about what it will mean for the campaign and how the Bush administration or the Bush election guys will try to manipulate it and bash Kerry.
That's my concern. That they will do. Hey, John Kerry is up there with gay marriage. Look.
Yeah, that's his people. The real frightening thing is this will sort of push through the momentum that wanted to amend the Constitution to deny this right.
God, not that.
I mean, I hope they don't, but I mean, this could be just the thing that they... Here, I feel like we're giving them suggestions somehow. Like we're sitting here going, man, if they do that, that would really suck. And there's someone in a room going, make sure we make note of this. Thank God these guys are on the air.
Yeah, you could be right. Karl Rove could have some guy in a room somewhere.
I get the feeling Karl Rove has already thought this thing through, the entire thing to like the year 3000. They've got the neoconservative plan for world domination and nothing will stop them.
That's right. They may not be here to experience it, but they will put the pieces in place.
And I feel a tremendous amount of personal glee every time like these sort of Christian family groups that rally together to sort of stop people from having a good time and having their rights legal and okay. Whenever they kind of rally together and someone just goes no, and
did you see this thing about the baggy pants?
Oh,
the Louisiana
ridiculous.
Legislature is trying to ban those kind of pants that people like Britney Spears and Ludacris and
they're gonna find
my son
people.
And a whole bunch of other people wear.
They're going to fine people for showing their crack.
Yeah.
On top of the baggy pants. And you can't show, they said they're going to, it's like, I don't know. Do you have the article there, Sue?
I do. And I just had, even at 4 in the morning, I thought it was funny that the House Bill 1626 was called the Baggy Pants Bill.
The No Crack Bill?
Known as the Baggy Pants Bill. It states, I better read from this, it shall be unlawful for any person to appear in public wearing his pants below state... Oh, no.
State mandated.
Below the state line? You can't wear your pants below the state line.
Below State Representative Dick Shepard's bill. It's like, no, there's a missing page. It's not a missing page. What's happened? Well, below something.
It's like a $500 fine if you're caught outside with your underwear showing.
But isn't
it
interesting?
Even on the basketball court.
It says his. It doesn't say his or her. So maybe Brittany can get away with it, but guys can't get away with it. Could that be a little legal loophole?
It's ridiculous. The whole thing, it's like ridiculous. I mean, it's like it's no different than a bikini. And, honestly, if they're going to ban, like, hip-hugger pants, I mean, they should not ban them just because they're indecent. There should be some sort of weight limitation on who can wear those things.
Well, that's the other thing.
I'm glad that everyone's happy and comfortable and free with their body, but they don't look right on some people. And I know it's hard. I have my own body image issues. And I know that when people are looking at themselves in the mirror and they're putting on their pants, at some point they go, I'm the shizit here. I can go outside and look like this.
The thing is they're comfortable.
Yeah, but, you know, for half of the people, it's comfortable. For half of them, it's a complete accident that they end up showing their crack like that. I mean, it's just, you know, it's that the pants don't fit right or they have no butt or whatever. And next thing you know, I'm not talking about you.
They don't fit right. I tried a pair of Levi's on once, and they were cut. They were men's Levi's, but they were low cut.
Yeah.
And they're really uncomfortable because they don't give you enough space in between the belt line and your crotch.
Yeah.
And you know, every time you go to pull it up, there's nothing to pull up. So you're like, you're in trouble when you sit down.
You're giving yourself a wedgie. Every
I didn't
time
buy
you
those.
Pull up your pants.
Yeah, I didn't buy those pants, but I feel bad for women that have to make that they have that constant discomfort. But there is sort of a. You know, I mean, try to be objective. You know,
I just love the fact that I just love the fact that politicians are wasting their time trying to come up with laws to stifle
young people's sexuality.
Yeah, to stifle bad taste. I mean, bad taste is fun.
I think it looks pretty funky. I think it was a.
It'll all hang out. I love bad taste. We need more of it.
It's the new groovy. I mean, I don't. You know, at first I was sort of like, what is going on? Because sometimes it gets ridiculous. Like it's hilarious when some kids put their pants all the way down to their knees and their underwear.
Their underwear. So they got boxers like all the way down properly. To their thighs. Yeah.
You're literally handicapping your ability to move properly.
Well, you know how that started.
Plus, I think it's anti-plumbers. Well, this bill.
It's a long story, but it has to do with the fact that when you go to prison, they take your belt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We'll get back to that.
Another conspiracy. Riley, come on.
Professor Abby Rubin of Johns Hopkins tells us to think twice about some computer voting machines. The Presidential Daily Briefing and Recovery Corner are on tap as we continue here on Air America Radio.
I feel a cold coming on, and I'm in a wedding this weekend.
This cold better be gone soon. I'm going on vacation. Is there any way to make a cold go away faster?
Yeah, is there?
There is. Cold Ease lozenges, clinically proven to reduce the length of a cold by almost half. No other product has Cold Ease's patented homeopathic formula.
Cold's gone. I can kiss the bride.
Safe, effective Cold Ease lozenges. The shorter the cold, the better. And try new Cold Ease nasal spray.
While you can't see brilliant colors on the radio, you can use them in your business. That's why the Xerox WorkCenter M24 digital color copier printer is attractive to anyone who listens to the voice of reason. The lease price is a low $189 a month. You get brilliant Xerox color for less than 9 cents a page, plus the Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee. To get all the colors you can't see on the radio, do the most reasonable thing.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. There's word this morning that State Secretary Colin Powell will be taking over the lead role for most U.S. operations in Iraq once the interim government takes over on June 30th. Powell will apparently relieve Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld of his duties in the country as ordered by President Bush. The directive was signed by Bush on Tuesday of this week. Funeral services will be held today for the late American contractor Nicholas Berg, whose body was found in western Baghdad last week. His family is demanding the Bush administration come clean on the circumstances surrounding his death. A great deal of media attention is being given to the strange coincidence between Berg and his earlier brush with Al-Qaeda when his email and password were found in the hands of 9/11 suspect Zacharias Moussaoui. And the Central Intelligence Agency has concluded that bin Laden Lieutenant Abu Musab al-Zarqawi was the person shown in the video beheading American civilian Nicholas Berg. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
If you're age 50 or beyond, the best present you can give yourself is a reality health check. Get a bone density scan, a colonoscopy, and if you're not already taking the calcium supplement Caltrate, now's a good time to start. You see, Caltrate not only benefits your bones, it could be good for your colon, too.
The same Caltrate shown in a clinical study to help stop bone loss may also help reduce the risk of recurrent colon polyps.
So schedule that reality checkup, and if you're not already taking Caltrate, start. It's never too late for Caltrate.
Toyota owners, roll into summer with great tire service offers at your participating Toyota dealer. And keep rolling all year long with free gas from Toyota. That's right, Toyota is giving away free gas for a year to 12 lucky winners. Just come into your participating Toyota dealer, where you get the very best competitively priced service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter the sweepstakes.
No purchase necessary. Ends May 31st, 2004. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 or older with valid driver's license only. Void in Hawaii. Official rules at Toyota.com/owners.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works
Not so fast.
Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello. Relief.
Prilosec label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec? Nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
The O'Franken Factor.
Friday on the O'Franken Factor, we listen carefully and with an open mind to the other side's point of view, then demolish it. That's what makes us better. We can handle the truth. The O'Franken Factor. Listen every weekday and be a hero at your office water cooler.
Al Franken and Catherine Lanfer. Weekdays noon to 3 on Air America Radio.
Good morning. It's Friday. I am Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition. I am here with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley. We are all here together.
Waiting for our coffee delivery. Yeah. I'm very excited.
More importantly.
Really?
So you say.
That's very subjective.
There's nothing more important than coffee, I know. But millions of Americans in more than 13 states will cast their votes this November on new machines that are meant to work like ATMs. But our next guest says electronic voting isn't secure enough. Professor Avi Rubin has done extensive research on these electronic voting machine systems from Diebold. He is the technical director of the Information Security Institute of Johns Hopkins University, and he joins us now from Baltimore. Good morning, Professor.
Hi, good morning.
So you've sort of disassembled, in certain respects, the Diebold voting machines. What are your biggest concerns about electronic voting?
Well, you know, I have concerns at two levels. One of them concerns what we found when we looked at the code for the Diebold machines, and the other has to do with fully electronic voting equipment in general. And I think the latter is more interesting, and the problem is really that when you go up to a machine that's fully electronic and you vote, you don't get to see anything about how your vote was recorded, and at the end of the day, these things that are basically computers are just telling us who won the election. Now, it wouldn't be too difficult if I were building this machine to have it decide who was going to win based on who I wanted to win and ignore the input that people were putting in when they were actually voting.
Wow. So you know, this is like I was getting emails about the Diebold machines, you know, like 2 years ago almost, with Bev Harris, you know, raising this issue, and also the fact that the owner, the CEO of Diebold, is a Republican contributor. And it's just that, you know, how can this – I just don't even – you know, these – what am I trying to say? What does Diebold say in response to all this?
They say their machines are perfectly secure and they've never had an incident in the 500 or so times that their machines have been used in elections.
And you say that's not true?
No, I don't know whether or not they've had incidents. The problem with electronic machines is that after the election is over, you don't know if it worked correctly or not.
And somebody, it almost invites hacking if they're that easily tampered with.
Well, you know, I think that the term's been thrown around a bit carelessly. Hacking is not the issue here. It's not like some teenager's going to sit in their garage and hack into the election.
Right.
What I'm worried about is that, and not just Diebold, anybody who makes one of these machines has the power to determine the outcome of the election, period. And, you know, so whether or not you trust these companies isn't the issue. It's whether or not you should be in a position to trust any company with the outcome of our election. I think we can design election technology that doesn't require you to trust the person who made the machine, like an optical scanning, for example. The nice thing about optical scanning machines is that when you fill out a piece of paper and it gets scanned, you still have the paper at the end of the day at the poll site, and it's something that the voter saw. They verified, you know, this is how I wanted to vote. And with an electronic voting machine, you basically walk in and then you trust that this computer is going to record what you did, add it to what everyone else did, and report the right answer. And there's just no reason why that's going to be the case.
Yeah, we've all dealt with computers. And also, there's also no reason to necessarily trust election boards or the government, clearly.
You want to design security systems so that there's as least trust as possible. The other way of putting it is that it would require the largest possible conspiracy to thwart the election. At this point, it doesn't require a conspiracy. The vendor can determine the outcome of the election.
Wow.
Avi Rubin, the technical director of information security at the Institute at the Information Security Institute in Johns Hopkins University, and the studies you've done with your students on electronic voting machines. What is the solution, and what state in America, if any, has got the voting system right?
So I think there are several different solutions. There's a long-term solution where I would like to see voting machines that spit out paper ballots instead of counting votes. So imagine you go up to like a Diebold-looking touchscreen machine and you select all your choices, and when you're done, it prints out a piece of paper that's a ballot, and you look at it and you can put it in a shredder if it got it wrong. But if it got it right, you can take it across the room or next to the machine to an optical scanning machine built by a different manufacturer, feed it through there, and have it keep it. And the nice thing is that I want an election where we can have a recount if it was close. And without any kind of paper trail, you can have a recount. Then there's what do we do about November? Because obviously we're not going to go design and implement and deploy these systems in the next few weeks. And I think about November, what we try to do is say, well, if we've got these electronic machines and we have nothing else, then let's outfit them with printers that will print a copy of the ballot of how somebody voted so they can verify it. Because if the machines are cheating, it's a lot harder for them to cheat if the voter gets to see a piece of paper indicating how they voted. And if that piece of paper is incorrect, then they you know, raise an alarm, and the judges can come over and void the ballot, and they can do it again. And if there's widespread fraud, we would notice it because there would be all of these alarms being raised everywhere.
So, Avi, where is the safest state to vote, then, in terms of accuracy?
I believe New Hampshire, actually. From what I've heard, they have optical scan ballots everywhere, and they don't have fully electronic voting machines. The next best one is probably California, where the Secretary of State has issued a directive that he's not going to allow paperless electronic voting in November. Of course, some of the counties, like Alameda County, are now claiming they're going to go against that directive and do it anyway, and they're suing him. So there's a big battle going on in California over this.
Mm-hmm. Professor Avi Rubin, am I to take from what you're saying that there is no really secure way to vote on the Internet?
Oh, on the Internet is not even the question here. That I definitely think there's no secure way to vote on the Internet. Just look at, put a Windows machine on the Internet and see how many minutes before you get infected with a virus. You know, the Internet isn't even the issue here. The issue here is fully electronic voting computers that are being used that 30% of the voters in the U.S. will vote on in the next election. And I think those things, it's not secure. Yeah, I don't think they're secure, but even worse, I think they're riggable. And I don't, when people try to counter the arguments the computer scientists are making by saying no one's going to hack into this machine, well, I'm not concerned about someone hacking into the machine. I'm concerned about the machine itself being predestined with a particular outcome.
So actually, the machines are set up to always favor one person.
They could be.
And the other question that I was thinking about is that there was a machine designed. Was there not an electronic voting machine that had an efficient paper trail, a true vote machine?
There are a couple of vendors, and they're pretty recently, who have come out with such machines, and I haven't had a chance. One of the problems is none of the vendors are willing to let people inspect their code. The Diebold code got inspected by accident because their code was accidentally made available. But, these other vendors come out with systems and they claim all these security properties, but then when we look and examine it, they say no. And there's nothing in the law that says that anyone has to subject their system to security review. So we have secret proprietary code running in all these machines in a process that's supposed to be the most transparent thing that we have, which is our election process.
Hmm. Thank you very much for joining us, Professor Avi Rubin, the Technical Director of Information Security Institute of Johns Hopkins University. We will take your calls about this topic. It's very it's disturbing and challenging. How do you feel about electronic voting? Are you going to use absentee ballots to get around it? Call us at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270 here on Air America Radio.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive, I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Past the hour, Friday morning. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. We're caffeinating. We're taking your calls.
Y'all at the coffee hyphen over here.
At 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0, sedition at airamericaradio.com.
I'm in the bliss stage. I'm halfway through the latte already.
We're talking about electronic voting, what you think about it, what you know about it. We just talked to somebody, Avi Rubin, who's a professor at Johns Hopkins of the computer technical stuff and stuff. And he says that these things can be set up and rigged. First, we're going to do the PDB. This is the Presidential Daily Briefing, the highly classified top secret document that crosses George W.'s desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is titled Software Errors Could Cause Presidential Brain Crash. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that the Bush 2.0 operating software that controls your brain functions, is rife with bugs, language errors, and redundancies. Also, the security firewall, once thought impenetrable, is now vulnerable to all manner of political viruses. The 2.0 program was touted as a vast improvement over the original George Bush 1.0 software, first rolled out in 1988. However, 2.0 has developed many of the same weaknesses as the original: sluggishness, lack of user-friendliness, and a tendency to freeze up while multitasking. This office recommends that we revert to the slightly antiquated but much more accessible Reagan 2.0 program, or even a modified version of the Nixon Windows 71. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. Nixon Windows 71. Bill in North Carolina. Bill, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Not bad. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. What do you expect?
I don't know.
That sounds good.
What's on your mind, man?
Well, I was telling your guy that answers your phone, I worked for, technically with Diebold, I worked for First Union Bank in securities, and we used nothing but Diebold machines.
That was the ATM machines?
There are ATM machines as well, but I was in the security end, so I worked mainly with alarm systems going off in different banks throughout the Southeast.
So it's a whole other branch of the Diebold Corporation.
Yeah, they're contracted to the bank, which was a bank which has been buried underneath another bank and bought by another one, of course.
All right, we're taking your word on this.
There you go. I used to sit in what they called a secure room, which was, you know, if the building caught on fire, they actually estimated how many hours it would take to burn through to the room I was in.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I was the one in charge of calling. There was eight of us, and I was the one in charge of calling Diebold every time we had a problem with one of their machines, because they didn't just supply the security systems, I mean the ATMs, but they supply the security systems and everything else within that building and for that bank.
And the point?
The point was that they were messing up constantly.
Okay.
Oh.
And we were constantly having to call them for repairs.
All right, so their system's this is outside of the voting systems. The other systems that you've had experience with.
If we could trust them for that, why would we ever trust them to...
To control the election. Thank you for your call, Bill. Appreciate it. Interesting.
Wow, that's deep.
Other Diebold electronic devices are not so great.
But you know what?
Sorry, just going back to what R.B. Rubin said, who was our guest, the technical director of the Information Security Institute at Johns Hopkins University. He said that, you know, what we really need is an optical scanning devices and doesn't think that anybody could, you know, come up with that kind of system before November. Bush needs to create jobs, right? He's falling way behind his job creation program.
We need some
optical
scanners.
Throw down the challenge. We need people to come out and create these things between now and November to prove that you really believe in your own electoral system.
David in Denmark, a different electoral system.
Yeah,
how are you, David?
Okay, pretty good.
Okay.
My comment is that having lived here for about 23 years in Europe, everyone votes by paper. You know, you place an X, and when the polls close, the general public is allowed to watch as they dump each individual ballot box onto a big table, and the people from the various parties, the representatives, stand at each table, and then they start doing the counting.
And do people show
up
for
this? They have the results on TV within about 20 minutes after the polls close. They start getting the trends in the election, and within 2 hours, everybody knows, you know, who won.
Right. And do people actually show up to watch the counting?
No, that's not normal. I've done it with my kids to sort of show them the process. And if you vote late, you know, and you're hanging around, they say that, you know, we're closing in 5 minutes, so then you have to do that. But yeah, there are people who are there, and then you have all the people from, you know, the representatives of the party that have to be there. And
right. I just got this impression of like, wow, there's not very much to do there.
No,
is
no,
there?
No, you know what? It's like Danish C-SPAN.
Yeah.
You know, they get but instead of having, you know, boring speeches from the floor of the legislature,
but he said that
if it counts. Right.
It might be quaint, but it works.
He said if it's done properly and with the right people looking over it, it's actually effective and quick. Mike. What can we do for you, Mike? How are you?
Hey, guys, you're doing a great job.
Thank you,
first of all.
Oh, thanks.
And, Mike, 2 points. The professor was right about, you know, having the machine set up now to print out what you voted.
Yeah.
But that could still be rigged. Just because it prints out what you say you voted doesn't mean it can't record, you know, for the other candidate.
Right, anything can be, you know, rigged
that's the most depressing part of this whole thing. That's why I was depressed by Avi Rubin, because it really does come down to the fact that you can rig anything.
It does also, I think, speak to, you know, how America is so ahead of other countries in its technology. So the fact that because these electronic voting machines have been invented and exist, therefore there's this rush to use them. And we forget sometimes with technological advances that sometimes the old-fashioned way of paper and people is better.
Well,
it can be better.
Certainly hasn't been a problem in New York, because the voting machines that are in New York have been here for 40 years.
We're going to take more of your calls, 866-303-AAR0, so stay with us if you're on the phone on Air America Radio.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experienced professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at GEMHR.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
It's a lose-lose situation. Insurance premiums are rising and coverage is falling. That's why now is the time to call Northeast Dental Plan, the country's oldest and largest cooperative dental plan, at 1-800-816-8866. You can immediately save as much as 50% on costly dental fees by becoming a member in their cooperative dental plan. For your free information kit, call 800-816-8866. One very low annual fee entitles you to tremendous savings on all general dental work, plus specialty work such as braces, bonding, bleaching, and more. There's even a free initial examination. There is no deductible, no claim forms to fill out, and no insurance company hassles. The free information kit includes the names and locations of every participating dentist and the exact fee charged for each procedure. Available to singles, couples, families, seniors, and groups. Call 1-800-816-8866 for your free kit. That's 1-800-816-8866.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Good morning. I'm the self-serving Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. We had an email before that seemed to, you know, misunderstand what I said before. I did not put my cat to sleep. My cat died. But thank you.
Oh, wow.
Thank you for your insensitivity.
People
and also
think you're that heartless, man.
Yeah,
well,
no,
that
I
could
you
have
know.
Been a mercy killing if the cat was incredibly ill with cancer and is inoperable. That's not necessarily a bad thing to put a pet to sleep.
I'm going
to
dedicate this
even
to
if you're Mark.
Yeah, I'm going to dedicate this to the same emailer who is actually in recovery, as am I. I'm Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
How are you? In each day in Recovery Corner, I reach out to my sponsee, George W., and I'm worried about what you told people in West Virginia about the prison scandals. Quote, like you, I have been disgraced by what I've seen on TV, what took place in the prison. No, 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 George W., you're disgraced. We, the people, are merely horrified. Two totally different ideas. You are not us. We are not you. Basic but important. Now I hear your pain, all right? This prison business is taking you to a bad place, and you want everyone else to be there with you. Well, we're not going to take that trip with you. That's Laura's job and Condi's. Focus on your problem. It's important to be selfish sometimes. Take a drive down Highway U. Say, I'm disgraced. I'm hurt. I don't have the respect of the military. Then when you get to the fork in the road, don't be afraid to ask for directions. Say, show me the exit ramp, God. I need to stretch my legs and maybe get some Skittles. Remember, anger's just a letter away from danger. It works if you work it, so work it. You're worth it. Keep the plug in the jug. God doesn't wake up and pinkies you. First things first, don't drink. That's Recovery Corner.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
are still taking your calls at 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. We have got Ben in Florida. Ben, how are you?
Good morning, New York.
Hey.
How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, well, first of all, we use some of those electronic voting machines, not the Diebolds, but I don't trust them a lick because there is absolutely no way to verify. We know from looking back at the 2000 election that the numbers are not exactly what they should be. I mean, they never actually counted the votes here in Florida to start with. But the thing that really ticks me off is how Jeb Bush is getting away with another round of removing voters illegally from the voter roll.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that the other week. Yeah, they're purging, trying to purge, I think, what is it, 45,000 people?
45,000, so that brings the total up close to like 150 now.
Are they doing it the same way they did it the last time?
I'm not sure. I haven't been able to really get too much information on it.
I think they're using a different company
Thanks for your
than
call,
the
man.
One they used before, but the effect is the same. And there's no guarantee, and this was the important part that happened the last time, there's no guarantee that they're not going to purge the list of people who should be allowed to vote even under Florida law.
We've got Summit in Westchester. Am I pronouncing it properly?
No.
Sumit. How are
yes.
you, sir?
Fine.
Okay, what's on
I
your mind?
I just wanted to mention to you guys, I don't know, I mean, I'm not against electronic voting, but I mean, the world's largest democracy in India just voted with electronic voting.
Yeah.
And they were very successful. I don't know, I mean, you should have asked the professor that question, that how did they manage to do it without any flaws?
Were they successful because the guy you voted for won?
Well, I don't know because I'm an American citizen, so I don't know.
But I mean, what,
I didn't vote for them.
But what judges? What judges? How do you know that they were successful other than you know the election
well, they,
took place?
Well, they voted the governing party out of the power, and the place where there was more electronic system that was worked, which was ruled by the guy who was IT savvy.
Okay,
yeah,
all right. So I see.
Point,
so
yeah.
you know,
it was
that
you.
They threw him out too.
Oh, all right.
I guess well, there's a reason why all the outsourcing goes to India, because they know how to do this stuff.
Well, I think what he was saying is that they were able to get voting machines into regions that may have been unrepresented before. Or
well, they got voting machines in regions where the party in power was supposed to be strong, and they ended up losing anyway. So that means that the voting machines were successful.
It would mean that way to me, too.
Yeah. There's an hour left until our weekend starts. But, oh, what an hour here on Morning's Edition as the presidential palm pilot journalist Stephen Pizzo and the Morning Devotional. This is Air America Radio.
Hey, let's go to my house for an Ovaltine milkshake.
I love chocolate Ovaltine shakes. Let's go!
Isn't it snack time for the kids? Let's make them Ovaltine milkshakes. I'll get out the ice cream and milk, and I'll get the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Hey, this is Mama's Mickey Ovaltine shake.
Yes, I love her Ovaltine shake.
Yeah!
Now I'll add the rich chocolate Ovaltine, and I'll get the glasses.
Mom, we're home!
Who wants an Ovaltine shake?
I do! I guess we better make more.
More Ovaltine shakes, please!
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6-year, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified, it's just used.
Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. It looks like President Bush is looking to State Secretary Colin Powell to do the cleanup in Iraq. Bush earlier this week signed an executive order paving the way for Powell to take the lead role instead of Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. Bush gave the directive as the administration scrambled to deflect attention away from the prisoner abuse scandal. Diplomats to be affected by the change have theorized that the State Department supervision will appeal to those allies opposed to the U.S. occupation. They believe the allies will enthusiastically join the effort to rebuild Iraq after June 30th. Brigadier General Mark Kimmett appeared on television from Iraq this hour to confirm the release of 250 prisoners from Baghdad's Abu Ghraib prison. A recently released Red Cross report claimed that 70 to 90% of the Iraqi detainees were arrested by mistake, and Kimmett was asked if his number matched the Red Cross.
They certainly don't. We are very careful about who we're bringing to Abu Ghraib prison. It is clear that they pose an imminent threat, an imperative threat to security, and we don't bring prisoners in large sweeps. We have reason to be keeping those people, and when those reasons no longer exist, then we release them.
Brigadier General Mark Kimmett in Iraq this morning. Funeral services are on the schedule for today in suburban Philadelphia. The late American contractor Nicholas Berg, he was beheaded by an Islamic group with ties to Al-Qaeda. The family of the victim has asked the press to respect their privacy today, but the Berg family is also asking the Bush administration to disclose why they are saying their son was not in U.S. custody 2 months ago when the State Department communique said he was. Gay marriages will be allowed in Massachusetts starting on Monday a federal judge yesterday turned down a last-minute attempt by conservative groups to block the marriages from taking place. The judge said the Massachusetts Supreme Court did act within its authority when it interpreted the state constitution to allow gay marriage. U.S. House of Representatives voted yesterday to make permanent the tax cuts enacted in 2001 that reduced the tax on the first $6,000 earned from 15% to 10%. House now moves on to child tax credit, which is due to drop from $1,000 to $700 unless lawmakers act. Emory University researchers have conducted a study on the pleasure center in people's brains. That study concluded that lottery winners trust fun babies, and others who get their money without working for it do not get as much satisfaction from their cash as those who earn it. Researchers measured brain activity in the part of brain associated with reward, processing, and pleasure in two groups of volunteers. The brains of those who had to work for their money were more stimulated. An associate professor of psychiatry, Greg Burns, at the university says, when you have to do things for your reward, it's clearly more important to the brain. That's why I'm here. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
By the way, thanks for helping me move these boxes.
No problem. Glad to help. Oh. Hey, go ahead. Put another one on there.
Okay, but careful on those stairs. Oh, you can't even see.
Hey, you leave that to me. Just tell me when I'm getting close.
You're close.
People don't always use common sense. Fortunately, there's a healthcare company that does. United Healthcare. We fill gaps in care others might miss. No referrals necessary to see a specialist. And when you call, a real nurse is available 24 hours a day. United Healthcare. It just makes sense.
There was dirt, water, and air. And it was good. Once, Planet Check. Planet Check.
Last year, Mounted Meadows became quite concerned, as I think a lot of other ski areas are in the country, about the possible influence of global warming on our viability as a business.
That's Mount Hood Meadows Sustainability Manager Stuart Watson.
So we thought we would take some initiatives to demonstrate our concern about that and hope to motivate other people to take similar actions.
Mount Hood gives the planet a lift with green-powered chair.
So we went out and bought enough green tags from the Bonneville Environmental Foundation to power two of our major chair lifts this year.
By taking this positive action, Mount Hood Meadows Ski Resort prevented 256 tons of greenhouse gases.
This is just totally awesome.
The purchase of green tags makes Mount Hood Meadows the third in the country among ski areas for support of renewable energy. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
I feel a cold coming on, and I'm in a wedding this weekend.
This cold better be gone soon. I'm going on vacation. Is there any way to make a cold go away faster?
Yeah, is there?
There is. Cold Ease Lozenges, clinically proven to reduce the length of a cold by almost half. No other product has Cold Ease's patented homeopathic formula.
Cold's gone. I can kiss the bride.
Safe, effective Cold Ease Lozenges. The shorter the cold, the better. And try new Cold Ease Nasal Spray.
I'll just see who that is then.
Oh no! South American killer bees! They're going for my
A swarm of killer bees. That's one thing you don't want in your house. One thing you do want in your house is a better looking roof with Plitanium plywood from Georgia Pacific. Other roof sheathing materials can swell at the edges, creating an unsightly checkerboard pattern under your shingles. Plitanium roofs provide a more uniform surface. Plitanium plywood. Build it better.
Yes, this is Chuck D, and this week on the Bring the Noise show, music and more views from co-host Kyle Jason, Davey D, Miss Martha Diaz, this Saturday at 10 p.m. each and every Saturday night on the Air America Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, Friday, we're opening up the President's Palm Pilot to check out his schedule for the day. And we'll tell you what you're supposed to do today as soon as Ms. Streisand faxes us the liberal agenda. That's coming up right now. I'm joined by Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott.
Good morning.
You feeling better? You feeling perky, Sue?
Oh, yeah.
I'll juice up.
Perky.
Riley's hanging out.
I'm here.
What are you doing this weekend, Riley?
You know, I don't really know. I am getting to the gym. Probably 2 days this weekend I'm going to get to the gym.
You know, man, it's like I've got to figure out how to have a life again. I can't just spend. I can't spend 2 days, you know, talking about the sad and tragic death of my cat because that's the only thing that happens to me. I can't come back here and just talk about like it's a horrible thing when you go, you take a whole weekend and all you got on Monday is like, well, I went to the gym twice and I slept a little bit.
You want me to devise an itinerary for you?
Maybe.
I'll give you one for free.
I should go see the Whitney Biennial. I should go to a movie or do something cultural. Maybe I should go to a rock. Why not go to Iraq and
you
just, you know, check stuff out, see if I can settle some stuff down, talk
to
some people.
It worked for Rummy, it'll work for you.
Yeah, right. What would happen to me? Hey, fellas,
what's
happening? Can I have
Hi, I'm Mark Maron. Maybe you've heard my show. Yeah, I can
Go to Iraq. I'm not a Jewy Jew. Yeah, I'm just, I don't know. It's going to be a slow weekend for me because my wife is in Los Angeles. But I will try to have a good time, and hopefully I'll bring back something of interest.
Now, listen, have you heard this story that the United States has actually said that we're prepared to leave Iraq if whoever it is they hand power to actually asks us to? Can you imagine that?
Come on. That's like them pandering. They're just pandering to
you. You know what? If I were the Iraqis, though, I would really get my act together to come up with a group of people that were viable to take charge of sovereignty and say, we are ready. I mean, that is, you know, that has to be incredibly motivating.
They're just putting the exit strategy on making it the responsibility of the Iraqis. We'll leave. Just tell us to go.
Just tell us to go.
Perfect.
Yeah.
We've got 25 million saved for Syria. We're ready to go. We've got other things to do.
It is something of a backtrack, though, because they've been saying the last few weeks, you know, we are here for the duration. We're not leaving. You know, we're going to complete our mission. I mean, that does give a little window of, you know, some wiggle room that, okay, well, maybe we actually should get out.
Well, you know who this came from, right?
No.
This came from a pansy in the State Department. This didn't come from Rumsfeld's shot.
Right.
Okay.
Came from a what in the State Department?
A pansy. Uh-oh. A Nancy boy. A girly man.
You got to be careful. You're gonna offend the organization of pansies. Yeah, Sue.
No, this was from Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs Mark Grossman. This is the best line, I think, since I'd love to make the abuse photos public, which came out earlier this week from Donald Rumsfeld. I don't know why this guy would say that, and we should be clear about what he did say. He said that the United States is prepared to leave Iraq even if it means withdrawing troops before the general elections are held in 2005, which are, you know, I mean, that's a year from now.
Yeah.
We're not just talking about everybody pulling out tomorrow. But, I mean, this is, we've heard it could take years, it could take centuries. They're talking about $25 billion extra they need just to run, keep the Iraqi troops there.
That's what they say it's for. The Congress is sort of like, are you sure that's what it's for? You guys took $700 million by us a few months ago.
But what does this mean regarding the UN, that they would get out if the UN asked them? Or is this about bypassing the United Nations and only scaling back troops or getting out of Iraq if Iraqis or us? A pan-Arab group or asks them to go.
I think that's as unclear as who's going to take over.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're talking about an interim Iraqi government.
Yeah.
They don't have an interim Iraqi
government. It's sort of a catch-22. The interim Iraqi government can just tell us to leave whenever they want to. Who's the interim Iraqi government? I don't know.
See, I wonder if it's an acknowledgement that the United Nations doesn't want to kind of step in and kind of bail the United States-led coalition out in all of this. And so they have to say, basically, it's the Iraqis. It's a challenge, and they are hoping or assuming that they won't get a coalition government organized. And so they're like, well, hang on, you guys can't do it on your own. Therefore, we have to stay.
So you're saying also that maybe the Iraqis could say we want the UN to come in as opposed to the United States asking for them to come in?
I would assume that the Iraqis would want kind of anybody, any international organization that is not the U.S.-led coalition in there.
So remember, there's a lot of other people inside Iraq, a lot of the more radical clerics, including, I believe, al-Sadr, don't want the United Nations in either.
Right.
They don't want to see the UN. They don't want UN troops in there. They want Iraqis and only Iraqis left to run.
Preferably followers of their particular type of Iraqi spirituality.
You mean Islam. Go ahead, say it.
Their type of Islam.
There you
the
go.
Al-Sadr style.
The Al-Sadr style Islam. That's the only one that's going to work. And, of course, back here in the States, Nicholas Berg will be memorialized later this morning. And his father is not backing away from criticizing the government of George W. Bush. And as Sue pointed out last hour, this is specifically around those 13 days and whose custody was Nick Berg in. Was it actually the, quote, Iraqi military, or was it the United States
government?
And why?
There's a conspiracy unfolding.
Well, we'll get to that, too. But here is Michael Berg.
Nicholas Berg died for the sins of George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld. The Al-Qaeda people are probably just as bad as they are.
And there is a conspiracy.
Well, it's very bizarre as more research is done into Nicholas Berg that, you know, now they, you know, Zacharias Moussaoui, one of the accused plotters of the 9/11 terrorist attacks, spent some time in Oklahoma. Nick Berg was in Oklahoma going to school for a brief period of time and on some sort of, you know, excursion off campus. He was on a bus, and Zacharias Moussaoui was on that bus and asked him if he could borrow Nick Berg's computer to email something. And Nick Berg gave him the computer. This is how the story goes, and that somehow there was an investigation into Nick Berg for having had Moussaoui dispatch an email off his computer, and it was a chance meeting, and he was dismissed of all accusations. But as Sue said earlier, perhaps this had something to do with his detainment because he was on record as being somehow connected to Zacharias Moussaoui.
Oh, yeah.
And also he had an Israeli stamp in his passport. Made them assume that he was working for the Mossad. And now, you know, Rush Limbaugh, I think, maybe not Rush, but some of the conservative press is suggesting that he was some sort of Al-Qaeda operative, which makes no sense. The first Jewish Al-Qaeda operative. It makes no sense at all.
I know how these things happen. I mean, and this is why we have to be really concerned about kind of lack of due process and lack of, you know, the infringement of kind of civil rights and recourse to lawyers. And even being charged for any kind of crime in these cases. Some years ago, I was called by the California police who grilled me about a murder that had taken place down in Southern California. And they kept on asking me how I, you know, I'd been in this town where it happened, and I'd spoken to these people, and why was I there? And I kept on saying, I'm a reporter for a British newspaper. I was down there to write an article. But your name appears on this piece of paper, blah, blah, blah. Well, it turned out that a reporter for a local paper had called me, and my name was down on her notes, and that they had somehow got my name from her notes and called me. And they wouldn't stop.
How did they get her notes?
I can't remember how that happened now, but all I know is that suddenly I got this call out of the blue from the police because there was some, I don't remember all the details, but it was a very strange sort of, you know, river of details how it got from this other reporter to me. I was completely, had nothing to do with the murder. But
did the reporter willingly give up the notes?
I can't remember, and so I know it's confusing, but the only point is that it's bizarre things happen. There are strange coincidences. The fact that Nicholas Berg was on a bus with Zacharias Moussaoui, shared a password.
Apparently the password or the email address was given to Zacharias Moussaoui. There's no indication that there was a
face-to-face meeting. But in a climate of kind of paranoia and investigations into terrorism and transgressions of people's basic civil rights, which is what has been happening, why we have Jose Padilla and Yasser Hamdi in jail, Supreme Court about to make decisions on these issues. That's how you end up with a guy like Nicholas Berg being held for 13 days in Iraq.
You mean because the situation is so loaded, just his presence there, that a hyper sort of intense micro investigation will be done on anybody who's in that situation?
Yeah, he may have had, you know, nothing. This could be, you know, absolutely, these guys were completely unrelated, some bizarre fluke.
Mm-hmm.
And but yet the climate of kind of fear and paranoia, and that we have to investigate absolutely everybody, but yet not tell them why we're holding them. Those are the troubling things that arise.
I'm curious if anybody during the time, because the FBI visited Nick Berg while he was in detention, whether he was held by the Iraqis or the Americans, do we know or will we have any way of knowing whether or not the Misawi email thing came up during that questioning just before he disappeared.
I don't know. The only details that we have had so far that haven't come from the U.S. officials have come from emails that he sent to his family in the United States. I haven't seen any of that stuff come out, but at least, you know, thank goodness, we have that kind of email trail to even, you know, give us some
give
kind
us
of
some
facts
guidance,
or
yeah.
Nicholas Berg's story. And well, his father is right. His family is absolutely right to demand to know why their son was held.
Well, Jonathan said, our producer says that, yes, he was detained because of the Misawi connection. So we know that that was
I'm assuming that was why.
Yeah, that was that must have been factual. So,
and also his father was on some sort of enemies list on
a right-wing
website for registering as someone against the war, I think.
Wow. Well, I mean, it is a strange coincidence. It's still, to me, bizarre that the Bush administration is really having it both ways in terms of the Nicholas Berg situation. On the one hand, they kind of half impugn the guy's integrity in terms of some of the things they say about whether or not he was never in U.S. custody, whatever. And then, on the other hand, he's become this symbol of why we should still fight the war on terror.
And on the third hand, he's become a reason to completely not pay attention to the torture.
Exactly.
The prisoner.
Smokescreen.
Yep.
Still ahead, the president's Palm Pilot, and later the liberal agenda right here on Air America Radio.
Planet Jack. Who owns all of those trees in the national forest? We do.
Healthy forest? Think again. Americans are being restricted from commenting on the use of our public lands. Scott Paul, forest campaign coordinator for Greenpeace, explains.
These policies have been put in place to allow forest companies to forego the Endangered Species Act, to forego the Clean Water Act. Some of the most bedrock environmental laws in this country are being dismantled and people are unaware.
60 million Americans get their clean drinking water off of national forest lands.
There's decades of work to be done in our national forests just in restoration alone. Hundreds of thousands of logging roads to nowhere scarring our national forest system, and these roads have a very adverse environmental effect across the landscape.
Branch out and learn more at www.greenpeace.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Today at 5 o'clock on Channel 7 Eyewitness News. A bar mitzvah celebration for kids who aren't Jewish? It's the hot new thing. Eyewitness News shows you a new kind of coming-of-age party that goes beyond religion. Plus, at 6 o'clock, defibrillators save lives. But Eyewitness News finds out that most health clubs refuse to install them. Is your gym putting you at risk? Join Diana Williams, Jade Veteranois, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast. Today at 5 on Eyewitness News, only on ABC 7.
An all-new Oprah, A Secret Affair, exposed.
The sex is very, very addicting.
A wife blindsided.
I couldn't believe it.
The other woman right next door.
Are you thinking about anything other than, I'm going to get some?
It's hard to explain.
Well, I'm sitting here willing.
Then her husband's double life, three mistresses, the son who took him on.
You think you should have told your mother?
Why husbands cheat. Would you stay? Would you go? Next door.
Today at 4, only on ABC 7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
Mary, can you overnight these to Boston?
Sure, do you want them first thing or... It's a meteor and it's coming right at me!
Not many things knock you out like a migraine.
I suppose you'll want to take the rest of the day off then.
But you can knock out a migraine with Ralpax. Ralpax Alitriptan Hydrobromide relieves migraine pain and symptoms such as nausea and sensitivity to light and sound. For some people, it starts to work in 30 minutes. Ask your doctor. Call 1-866-3-RALPAX or go to relpax.com. Ralpax. Don't let a migraine keep you down. Only your doctor can decide if Ralpax is right for you. If you have certain types of heart disease, a history of stroke, TIA, or uncontrolled blood pressure, you should not take Ralpax. Very rarely certain people, even some without heart disease, have had serious heart-related problems. Talk to your doctor if you have risk factors for heart disease, such as smoking, high blood pressure, or high cholesterol, or if you are pregnant or nursing. Certain medicines that are potent CYP3A4 inhibitors should not be taken with Ralpax, so talk to your doctor if you're taking other medicines. See our ad in Fitness Magazine.
Good morning, I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. I'm with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley. I'm reading an email. Great that you did a show on electronic voting, but you missed the point. There have already been really close elections in Georgia, for example, and in Minnesota, where Democrats lost to Republicans with electronic voting machines in use. In Georgia, Max Cleland and a popular Democratic governor were edged out in an election with absolutely no paper trail, an election which nine last-minute patches from Diebold came through with absolutely no security clearance from the state. Thank you, Sandy, for that email. Right now, we have hacked into the presidential Palm Pilot. I got a guy in the Oval Office that does it, so here's the president's schedule for today. 8 a.m., wake up, stay on message. I'm a liberator, not a dividerator. 9 a.m., have press conference bragging about freeing prisoners at Abu Ghraib. 9:30 a.m., have prisoners at Abu Ghraib silently and quietly arrested and sent to Guantanamo Bay. 10 a.m., shortlist presidential pardons to be given just before leaving office. 11:15 a.m., speak at Victory 2004 Luncheon, Bridgetown, Missouri. Tell them you govern by Harry Truman's motto, the buck stops here. 3 p.m., speak at Concordia University commencement, Concordia, Missouri. Tell graduates you govern by Harry Truman's motto, the buck stops here. 4 p.m., stop the buck. 6 p.m., see Troy again. Ask Rummy if Achilles is available for Iraq duty. 8 p.m., after screening, fitting for presidential breastplate, shield, and sword. 9:30 p.m., lights out. Pray to Zeus.
You know something I found out late last week about Bush's, much ballyhooed bus tour? Is that he was barely on the bus. He flew from place to place and then got on the bus. He spent almost no time at all on the bus. It was like the fly to the bus tour.
No, you got to be careful with that. That's how Randy Rhoads died from Ozzy Osbourne's band. They took the little plane and they were trying to screw around with the bus. And,
oh, my God.
No, a different one, not the one on our network.
Thank you very much.
I was just looking at
Thanks
you.
Thanks for clarifying.
The guitar player.
All right.
Oh, my God, now there's going to be a fury on the internet. Did Randy Rhoads? It was the guitar player for Ozzy Osbourne.
By the way, before we go to our guest, I just got to run this real quick.
Okay.
Now, it's not just the guy from the State Department that's saying that the United States would leave Iraq if asked. Now there's word that Paul Bremer, a name we all know,
the U.S. governor of Iraq?
The governor of Iraq says...
The viceroy?
We'll leave if asked.
But you know what? I don't see how the new Iraqi government, if and when there is one, will have any kind of authority to evict the United States. So they say this is very unclear. Kind of a mess.
Yeah, it is. And, of course, he's saying that he thinks it's unlikely they'll ask, and that's because he'll probably appoint the people to the government.
Right. So it's all sealed up. As soon as we figure out who those people are.
Absolutely.
As long as they are not the Taliban. American foreign policy denounces the Taliban in Afghanistan, the mullahs in Iran.
That was good. I can't help it.
The religious extremism behind uprising in Iraq. But how fundamentalist is our own government? The fact is that many people in this White House, in Congress, and in federal agencies are fundamentalist Christians. And as our next guest says, it's affecting public policy. Joining us now on the phone from Sebastopol, California, is journalist Stephen Pizzo. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, it's quite early out here.
Well, thank you for getting up. I appreciate it. So you're right that Bush has been quietly laying the foundations for his own fundamentalist regime at home. How so, sir?
Well, it's really striking when you think about it. We went into Afghanistan to chase out a bunch of religious fanatics that had hijacked Islam doing terrible things to women and all based on religious creed.
Mm-hmm.
At the very same time Bush is doing this, he is seeding federal agencies like the FDA and Health and Human Services with people who are equally crazy from a religious standpoint, Christian right people like Tom Coburn,
mm-hmm.
who's a former Republican congressman, and an avid anti-condom crusader. This guy believed has tried to get condom makers to put on their condoms that they're unsafe.
I'm sorry, Stephen Pizzo.
Just like you would on a cigarette pack.
Sorry, Stephen Pizzo. What's his job?
Well, he's been appointed to the Presidential Advisory Commission on HIV and AIDS.
And he's anti-condom.
Anti-condom. He wants on the packages, and say, I mean, I would imagine, you know, nothing, of course, is perfect, so he probably wants the same warning on airbags and on seatbelts.
And who else is there within the...
Dr. Joseph McElhaney.
And what's his job?
He's on the HIV and AIDS Advisory Council as well, and he's well-documented history of disseminating completely misleading data on condom failure rates in Texas. In fact, when Bush was governor of Texas, in 1995, his own Texas Commissioner of Health openly denounced McElhaney as anti-condom propaganda and his professional credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. David Hager appointed, now here are three Christian fundamentalists.
What's his job? What's Hager's job?
Hager and two other people were appointed to the FDA's Reproductive Health and Drugs Advisory Commission. Now, Hager served as spokesperson for the Christian Medical Association. He also authored a book entitled As Jesus Cared for Women, Restoring Women's Health Then and Now. And he, and get this, he also co-sponsored a book that recommended scripture reading and prayers as symptoms to relieve symptoms of PMS, something I'm sure he suffers from daily.
Wow.
Dr. Joseph,
I don't know. Don't knock advice about that, Stephen Pizzo. It could be very useful.
I wouldn't know. But Dr. Joseph B. Stanford, also on the Reproductive Health and Drugs Commission, he believes, first of all, he will not prescribe contraceptives to women in his practice. He believes that the only way to really ethically, in a Christian way, use birth control is a natural rhythm method, which, of course, I was raised in the Catholic Church and Italian-American community here. I can tell you it don't work. Dr. Susan Crockett, she was on the evening news last night trying to defend her committee's denial allow the morning after pill to be sold over the counter, even though it has been proven safe. The FDA itself voted that it was 28-0, that it was completely safe and could go over the counter, was as safe as aspirin. It was denied. First time in the FDA's history they've gone against their own advisory panel.
Stephen Pizzo, I got to ask you, you kind of detailed a pipeline here. Is this a network? I mean, is there a conscious kind of thing where people are recruited and then, I guess, stovepiped into these jobs?
Yeah, absolutely. And this began, this whole thing began during the Reagan administration, where Christian Wright tried to get these kinds of things passed legislatively. And, of course, America's a big country, and there's differing views, and they have not been terribly successful. Abortion is still legal. So when Bush was elected to office, though, they really hit the jackpot, and they realized, look, we're not going to get this kind of stuff through Congress. Let's put these little gray people into the agencies, these people who can pass these things without Congress. I mean, when you an FDA advisory panel and Health and Human Services, these kind of rules get passed all the time without ever going through Congress. I mean, business couldn't be done.
Hey, Stephen, yeah. I don't want to interrupt you, but we're going to come back to it. We got a hard out here, so stay with us, and we'll be back with Stephen Pizzo to finish that thought.
Can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
list. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love, usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. State Secretary Colin Powell will soon take over the reins from Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld in overseeing U.S. operations in Iraq. President Bush quietly signed an executive order earlier this week giving State Department control over U.S. operations when the interim government takes over on June 30th. National Guardsmen with the 870th Military Police Unit says Iraq's Abu Ghraib prison was one big sex romp where sex and alcohol was the order of the day. David Bischel told a published report that soldiers frequently set up candlelight rooms for voyeuristic sex shows. One of the military police officers charged in the prisoner abuse scandal at Abu Ghraib has offered to plead guilty and has provided military investigators with a detailed account of how guards humiliated and beat Iraqi detainees. And a family delayed Nicholas Berg is demanding answers from the Bush administration regarding the circumstances surrounding the death of their loved one. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose the advanced medicine in Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil gives you better relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling. Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Unfiltered. 46%
of Americans approve of Bush's job performance. Now, the editor-in-chief of the Gallup poll says, for an incumbent to be at 46% job approval at this point in an election year has historically always spelled defeat for presidents since 1950. Nobody at this low an approval rating at this point in their candidacy running for re-election has ever won.
That's pretty diebold.
Air America's Unfiltered. Weekdays 9 to noon on Air America Radio.
Good morning. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley. We are talking to Stephen Pizzo, a journalist who wrote an article called The Christian Taliban, and you can find it on Alternet. I'm sorry I cut you off. I know that that's rude and listeners get offended, but we kind of ran out of time. And what I'd like to talk to you now about is sort of address how, you know stacking the deck with Christian fundamentalists within the administration on any level, how does that directly affect the regular person?
Well, you know, some people thought that the title of the piece, Bush's Christian Taliban, was a bit much. But, you know, there are some striking similarities going on here. The Taliban were profoundly anti-common sense, anti-science. And you look at some of the first things Bush's people did when they got into their positions. The first thing they did was they went through all of these agencies, the data they put out to the general public, particularly their websites, and scrubbed them.
Yeah, how did so?
Scientific data on the effectiveness that has been collected for decades now, particularly in the last 10, 15 years since AIDS. Scientific data that's been collected was scrubbed, showing that the condoms are effective, and replaced with all this alarmist information about the failure rates of condoms.
That's right. The scientists got very mad at this administration.
Oh, and also the Health and Human Services posted on their website a totally un-peer-reviewed study and condemned by almost everybody, a study that showed that a relationship between breast cancer and abortion. It has since now been removed, but they put that up.
Completely defunct. You know, and it's... You know,
wait, one other thing. Yeah. Just to show you how Taliban-ish this is. I just made up
Taliban-ish.
Taliban-ish. I like that.
We'll write that one down.
They removed the term reproductive health from these sites and replaced it with related health services. I mean, these people have real issues with anything sexual.
And he's completely, not only is he putting people within his administration that are fundamentalist Christians, and we need to make some separation because we've had, you know, issues on this show where people are like, that doesn't represent all Christians. This is a certain type of Christian mentality. Yes?
This is the far right. This is the Taliban branch of the Christian movement in this country.
And Senator James Inhofe, the guy who was like so worked up about do-gooders, you know, referring to the Red Cross in the Senate committee hearings.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was actually born again at a congressional prayer breakfast that they have every week.
Yeah, included in this group too is John Ashcroft and of course Tom DeLay of Texas. These are your end of dayers.
What's their end game, man?
Their end game is to impose through government this very strict Taliban-like rule structure when it comes to human behavior, particularly anything dealing with reproductive health. And of course, this strikes, of course, as it did in Afghanistan. This really lays heaviest on women. Women who are not able to get emergency reproductive aid through the morning after pill, if there's an accident, if one of those condoms actually does break.
Mm-hmm.
These pills are not going to be available over the counter because this is being blocked, even though they've been proven to be as safe as aspirin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how does it affect this? Stem cell research.
Exactly.
We saw last week Nancy Reagan come out in favor of embryonic stem cell research in opposition to the Bush administration. Well, a lot of people said, great, poor Nancy and poor Ron. Well, I can agree, poor Nancy, poor Ron are having a terrible time of it. But the fact of the matter is these conservatives only come out for something like this when that chicken comes home and roosts in their family personally, and then suddenly they're for stem cell research. But they were against it when they could demagogue it as a social issue, cost-free to them personally. But as soon as it hits them, suddenly they're for it.
Stephen Pizzo, you're a journalist, and you have written about how this White House has encouraged fundamentalist Christian ideology in American public policy. Where is Congress in all of this? Shouldn't they be acting as some kind of check on overzealous behavior by the White House? And you know, what can they do?
Well, one would think. But, you know, here's the problem. Here's the problem. And these born-agains have used this very effectively over the last 25 years. You know, they push, and they get very little pushback. And the reason they get very little pushback is because Americans like to see themselves as an open, free society, uncritical. We feel very uncomfortable challenging other people's religious beliefs, Nobody wants to be, painted as intolerant. But as soon as we do push back, take for example the removal of the Ten Commandments from the Georgia courthouse. You know, they push the limits all the time. And they put Ten Commandments in the lobby. The court says no, you got to take them out right away. They come out. What Christians are being persecuted again. So everybody says, well, I don't want to be I don't want to be painted as someone who persecutes people for their religious beliefs. So it's a very difficult thing for members of Congress and ordinary citizens to say, look, your ideas are your ideas. You've got them. They're your beliefs. I think they're superstition, but you think they're the truth. You have a right to all of this. What you don't have a right to do is violate the contract that we call the First Amendment, that the government won't impose a religion on you if you don't try to impose your religion on everyone else. And they break that contract, and they are breaking it successfully every day, and we are moving closer and closer to some sort of a modified theocracy.
And how come there's not, like, the public outcry? Like, I talk about this all the time to my friends and everything else, that if anyone's on the fence about, you know, anything this administration does, I say that they pander to the worst part of the Christian right, and they're fascists on some level.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, they don't blink an eye that all of these people are going to prayer breakfasts in Washington.
What is that? I mean, how come, like, shouldn't we be out in the streets about this? I mean, this is like, this
well,
is...
Well, imagine, Mark, if those prayer breakfasts, though, if two-thirds of the people going to those prayer breakfasts were Muslims, and this was a Muslim prayer breakfast.
Right.
Now, do you think the Christian right would be out of their minds about this? And they want prayer in school? Fine. I say, good, give them prayer in school. Monday it'll be a Christian prayer. Tuesday it'll be a Muslim prayer.
Yeah.
Wednesday it'll be a Jewish prayer. And then there's, by the way, a church in Oakland, California. It's been incorporated since 1971, has tax status and everything. It is a church. It's a church of Satan. So on Friday we'll have a prayer of the devil.
Why not? Let's mix it up. Stephen Pizzo, thank you so much for being with us. It's great talking. I hope to talk to you again.
All right, bye.
Okay, see you later.
Hey, it's still 5-something out there.
Yeah, he was great. 866-303-AAR0. We want to hear from Christians, and we want to know what you think about the fundamental fundamentalist Christian influence on America's government. You don't, you know, you, anyone can call, obviously. 866-303-2270, sedition at airamericaradio.com. We'll put you on the line here on Air America Radio.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it is been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Good morning. It's Friday. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley. It's Morning Sedition on Air America. We're taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We're talking about, we want to hear what you think of the fundamentalist Christian influence on America's government. We'd like to hear from Christians. We'd even like to hear from fundamentalists of any kind. We just want to hear your opinions. Also, sedition at airamericaradio.com. And now, appropriately, it's time for our morning devotional. Dear Lord, we'd like to offer a prayer on behalf of your servant, George W. Bush. Now, as you know, Bush hates the idea of gay marriage. He hates it. And people are planning the first state-sanctioned gay marriages in Massachusetts next week. There's only so much gay he can handle, God. He thought this might be one of his big campaign issues, Lord. Now with the 9/11 commission and the torture news, it's even less relevant than his war on steroids. Help him work out his gay problem, God. After all, you're a liberal black lesbian. You know all the angles. We'll all be better off if he lets this go, like that whole graduate school thing. And if you could turn his daughters gay, that would be great. Amen. Now, taking your calls, Marcia, New Jersey. Marcia, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you
I'm
today?
I'm fine.
Hey.
What's on your mind?
Well,
You know, I'm sick and tired of conservatives claiming that Christians are supposed to be conservatives.
Right.
Jesus wasn't even a conservative.
Right. I think
that's
he was
why they killed him.
You know, that's the simplest, most direct, most logical explanation
he was
I've heard.
It drives me crazy. You know, I teach Sunday school. I go to church. I do all those things. And my conscience as a Christian tells me that I have to be a liberal. George Bush is not a Christian. None of them are a Christian because they don't even understand what Christianity is about.
Wow. Thank you so much for your call. It was great talking to her. Meadie in Louisville? Am I pronouncing it right?
Hi, my name is Meadie, and thank you for taking my call.
Okay, Meadie.
I moved here from Iran 21 years ago. I'm a U.S. citizen now. I've been living in this country, and I love it, every minute of it. But I see a lot of similarity between this Bush administration and the regime in Iran, the mullahs that's running that country.
How so?
In terms of justifying everything that they do with their belief, whatever their belief is. And the Bush administration does that too.
Mm-hmm.
And the scary part is, especially in recent interview that George Bush had, that they asked him, did you talk to your father before invasion of Iraq? And he said that, no, I talked to the higher father. And he even, in his own little mind, justifies his action to, Christian beliefs that, they're so fundamental that that's the scary part, not just the women's reproductive system or anything else, but the fact that they justify their action through religion, and unfortunately, certain sector of the society believe in that.
Yeah, that's
one of the beauty of this country in the separation of church and state. That's why the progress, the social and economical progress of this country, truly been related to the fact that that religion and politics been separated. And that's what my comment is.
Well, thank you very much, Mehdi. That's very true. It's interesting to hear somebody with a different perspective who actually lived under a real theocracy briefly, it sounds like.
And who loves every minute in the United States.
Yeah.
That's good.
Right. Bob, how are you, Bob?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Bob from
yes.
Bensonhurst.
Hey, Bob.
I'm a born-again Christian since 1973. I voted for Clinton twice and mm-hmm. Gore once because I felt they were better candidates.
Mm-hmm.
In August of 2000, I was shocked and dismayed when Jerry Falwell said on Bill Maher's Politically Incorrect that he doesn't believe in global warming because he believes God made everything okay.
Completely irrational.
But I'm a Christian. I believe God made everything okay, too.
Right.
But I believe we messed it up.
Yeah, that's...
We didn't follow what God says in Genesis chapter 1 to be good stewards of the earth. We're not following that. And I don't see how the Bush administration policies on the environment and on gun control are
Christian
policies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think God wants us each to have an AK-47 to go hunting with.
That's right. So you're saying that the Bush administration is misinterpreting God's will?
In some areas, yes.
Well, they're not reading the Old Testament.
In some areas, I believe, they are not they're not following what I would think to believe a Christian policy. I mean, Richard Nixon had very strong Quaker roots. He started the Clean Air Act and the Environmental Protection Agency, I think.
Yeah, he was not necessarily a perfect Christian either.
He's not necessarily a perfect Christian, but he started the EPA.
Right. Thank you very much for your call, Bob.
He did kind of mess up.
healthy Christian behavior to justify a global agenda that's got nothing to do with Christianity. He's a very frightening guy.
Mm.
So we will be back with the liberal agenda and some wrap-up statements at the end of the week.
Yeah,
chat
sorta,
time.
Kinda, sorta, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So stay tuned on Air America Radio.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter. But in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
There's something about me you folks might not know. Nobody likes me. Nobody. Maybe it's because I like to attack people. Men, women, kids. I can reduce them to weak, stammering, confused, scared imitations of their former selves. If they don't stop me, I just might leave them that way for life. I am a stroke.
Recognize the symptoms of a stroke and act quickly. To learn more about stroke, call 1-888-4-STROKE or simply log on to strokeassociation.org. Because time lost is brain lost. A message from Don Rickles. This public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Good morning, it's Mark Maron with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. We are approaching the end of our show for the week here. And I just wanted to, we were just talking to Stephen Pizzo out in California about born-again Christians within the administration, how they affect policy and whatnot. And James Inhofe, who is a senator from Oklahoma, I just read an interview with him on Connection Magazine. It's a Christian magazine, connectionmagazine.com. I just want to quote him a little bit and then quote him from some of the committee hearings that are going on the Hill there. Inhofe says, "I trust God. As a senator for Oklahoma, I'm very much concerned with my committee responsibilities. I do it all in the spirit of Christ. It's tempting for senators to look in the mirror and think of themselves as being one of the most 100 important people in America. But in reality, we're just servants of the people, and I trust God with my legislative goals." He also said, "If the good people stay out of politics, what's going to happen to politics?" Now, can we listen to that soundbite?
I am also outraged that we have so many humanitarian do-gooders right now crawling all over these prisons looking for human rights violations while our troops, our heroes, are fighting and dying.
He's doing it all in the spirit of Christ, slandering the Red Cross.
Nice, comparing
nice
them to insects.
Yeah, insects, do-gooders. Really, bastards. Imagine that. In the name of Christ, Inhofe said that. What do you got,
Amen.
Right? Yeah.
Time now for a new award we're going to give away on Morning's Edition. Every week, we're going to try to recognize the biggest butthead that jumps out of the week's political news. He will be, or she will be, our dog of the week.
Yeah, what do you got? How are we initiating, baptizing
all
this
right,
segment?
We had some candidates. We had James Inhofe, who you just played the sound.
Yeah.
We had Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. After all, the prison abuse scandal and who knew what about who and when seemed to spell Rumsfeld's doom just the other day.
Yeah.
Just in the nick of time, unfortunately, Nick Berg gets himself killed, and somebody told Rummy to get out of town.
Yeah.
Off he goes to Iraq, and now it looks like calls for his ouster are falling on deaf ears. Not so his intelligence boss, Stephen Cambone. That's why Cambone is hands down the Morning Sedition Dog of the Week. First, he forces himself into the public spotlight by insisting on sitting next to a genuine hero, General Antonio Taguba. Then he compounds his mistake by contradicting the general on several key points. Not content to let things be, Cambone gets his monkey ass in more trouble by arguing with members of the Senate Armed Services Committee. So now, with Rumsfeld off the hook, guess who lawmakers say should be forced to resign at the Department of Defense? Nice work, dog. And you say you know intelligence?
See ya. Yeah, it also teaches him to trust his boss.
Yeah.
They're just going to let him. They're going to hang him out to dry, right?
They seem like they're getting ready. It looks like they got the clothespins ready.
Oh, man. That's beautiful.
Hey, let him go. Let him go. He should know better. He should have known before he went up there and sat next to Zaguba. He should have refused the assignment.
He was pretty cocky, though, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He thought he was really going to cover his ass and the ass of his boss.
He borrowed Rumsfeld's smirk for the special appearance there. And now it's going to get wiped right off his face if he's not careful.
The Republican smirk.
Yep.
Yeah.
I still don't think Rumsfeld's going to last.
You don't?
You think,
no.
You think Rumsfeld's still going?
I do.
I don't know.
So you want to take some bets?
Yeah.
No.
No. I'd like to see him go. I mean, it's going to require Congress and the people to really stay on top of him and keep pushing this through, even with these distractions, just because he went over to Iraq to sort of kiss some ass and, you know, take people's mind off it. I think he still should answer for it.
Here's just a little detail of how out of touch I think the Bush administration is really with the average American. I just looked at a piece about the two different websites for the paraphernalia for the Bush campaign, georgewbushstore.com and kerrygear.com, and it turns out that overall the Bush merchandise is slightly more expensive than Kerry stuff, and there's a heavy emphasis on golf stuff.
Golf gear.
What, a golf?
Golf.
Really? No,
I mean,
NASCAR
golf
stuff?
Exactly.
Uh-oh.
Golf. Elitist stuff.
Uh-oh.
Speaking of the different type of elitist, there's the there's the facts from the Streisand compound. This is the today's liberal agenda for May 14th. Get your pencils, write these down. One, if your children ask about the homeless guy at the freeway off-ramp, retell the story about Florida and the hanging chads. Two, email your congressman about the high cost of gasoline. Feel like you've done all you can. Three, remember, it's not too early to plan Thanksgiving to be renamed the Vegan Day of Guilt and Shame. Four, at regression therapy, come to terms with your anger during the Reagan administration. And five, rather than thinking, what would Jesus do, think, what would Woody Harrelson do?
Right.
There you go. Do what you will. Liberal soldiers.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that Rumsfeld reverses his position and actually reads some newspapers over the weekend.
Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend.
Have fun.
The Taguba report would be nice for him to read, but I don't think that's going to happen either. Coming up on Monday's Morning's Edition, Mark Maron faces off in a steel cage comedy match with Greg Giraldo. Two comedians, one radio show, two ethnicities. You do the math. That's Monday's Morning's Edition here on Air America Radio.
Thinking about buying a used vehicle from a private owner? Think about this. Every Lincoln & Mercury certified pre-owned vehicle has to pass a rigorous inspection of up to 141 points. The ones that do qualify come with 6 years, 75,000-mile limited warranty coverage and 24-hour roadside assistance. Think you'll get a 3.9% interest rate from a private owner? I don't think so. If we don't certify it, it's just used. Then all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Great corner kick. All right.
Hey, the Ovaltine man.
Yeah.
No kid can resist the taste of rich chocolate Ovaltine.
It's yummy.
It's chocolatey.
This chocolate milk's terrific. Isn't that quick?
No, it's rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste, and Ovaltine adds vitamins and minerals that Nesquik powder doesn't. Why give them Nesquik when you can give them more? And there are more vitamins and minerals in Ovaltine.
Ovaltine's amazing.
More Ovaltine, please.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York. The